2020 meeting.
Hold on. There are people in the waiting room. Should I let them in?
I'm letting them in right now. Yep.
Okay.
All right. Oh, I'm going to restart then. There we go. That's better. Okay, good. Thanks. Okay, I'd like to call the 20. Oh, we have two more people in the waiting room. Got them. Judy, do you see two more? And Robin Robinson. Okay, great. I'd like to call the September 8th, 2020 Newtown Borough Council meeting to order. Please join me in a moment of silence followed by the pledge. As we have our moment of silence, I'd like to take a moment to consider the horrible events coming up on the anniversary of September 11th and the loss of many souls in our country. And second, to remember with love and sorrow this 15th anniversary of the death in the line of duty of our officer, Brian Gregg, this September 29th. So please join me as we think of them. Thank you. I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States
of America
and to the republic
for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty
and justice.
Do we have any amendments to the agenda?
So I will give an update on comprehensive plan. I'm fine with that being either amendment or under old business, either whatever you prefer.
Okay. Judy, do you have a preference for your minutes?
No preference.
No. Okay. If it's brief, we can put it under old business. If it's longer, requires contemplation from council, then we can have an amendment. What would you prefer?
I wouldn't foresee any contemplation.
Okay, so let's just make it under old business. Thanks, Mark. Okay, public to be heard? Okay, I would like to introduce to everyone our recorder of deeds for Bucks County, Robin Robinson. She's here to present the Adopt-A-Book program and tell us a bit about what the deeds office has been doing to save and preserve for the future all the deeds that have been maintained at the county offices, what the condition they were in and how they were being taken to keep them for the future, and the repairs that have been done are truly impressive. So I'd like to hand the presentation over to Robin. So Judy, if we can begin that. All right, and welcome, Robin. Thank you.
Tara. Before Robin begins, could we ask the audience please to turn off their video? The only people whose video should be on are members of the Borough Council and whoever is giving the presentation
right
at the moment.
Okay. So hi, Twain, that would be you. Thank you.
Okay, Robin, I just made you a co-host.
Okay, great, thanks. Okay.
Thank you. So then I can put up my presentation. Kristen's helping me, my first deputy, who's wonderful. I want to first say hello to all of you. It's so good to see you all again. I haven't seen you since your swearing in, which I really, really enjoyed, in your beautiful building. So welcome to the Recorder of Deeds office. So as many of you may know, I won the office in 2017, and I took over January 2nd, 2018. And as in life, it is in the Recorder of Deeds office, we don't know what we don't know. And that has been my experience since I started. So in April 2018, I went to a meeting of other Recorder of Deeds, and I met this wonderful recorder, Mary Ann from Blair County. And she's the one that opened my eyes. And she told me about all her old deed books and about how she was repairing them and using record improvement money. So I came home, because remember, I had only been the Recorder of Deeds a few months, you know, and I didn't know anything. I came home and I said to my staff, do we have any old deed books and where are they? And they took me out to the warehouse at 611 and Almshouse Road and they showed them to me. There they are, dating back to 1684 with William Penn's name, the history of the county, the history of the country, laying on the floor in this warehouse with no air conditioning in the summer and no heat in the winter. Well, my heart sank, first because I'm a history buff and I just couldn't believe this. And then I thought, uh-oh, this is my responsibility. My main job as Recorder of Deeds is to protect and maintain the record of this county. And the people before me just threw it on the floor. So Mary Ann told me about a company she was using called CoFile to repair the books. So long story short, I was able to piggyback another county in New York's contract and use them to fix our books. And their prices were the supposedly the best around. And for this kind of work, there are very few companies that do this. CoFile is a very large company that bought up little companies. And so where our books go is in Vermont. And I went up and I visited, and I'm going to show you the pictures of my visit. But they deal in historic records. So it's just a good fit for us. So here we go. I started with using record improvement money. A week before I took office on December 27th, the Recorder of Deeds before me gave every cent he had in record improvement money, which I'm going to tell you about in a minute, to the county, $900,000. He could have had all these books repaired, but he gave it away. So I went back to the county's record improvement committee and I asked them for that money back. They gave me $250,000 back of the $900,000, and we started with the books. So here are the first 45 books. And you can see on the left side where they're all tattered and messed up and tied up with string. The reason that is because all the pages have been scanned back in a day, maybe 2000, 2004. And they were cut when they call it guillotine because they didn't have overhead projectors. So they just cut up all our books and they put them through scanners and just put them back in the cover and tied them up with string. So our pages are messed up. They're not in order. They're missing. So this is a huge project. And as you can see, CoFile started out doing a wonderful job there with the first 45 books. Quick little history of paper. 1624 to 1850. Paper was made from cotton. My mother used to tell me about the old rag men coming around selling rags. Dirty rags, you receive less money for than clean rags. And our pages are all different colors. Between 1850 and 1994, paper was made from wood pulp. And the paper just, if you crush it, it just crumbles everywhere. Nowadays, paper is really, really great. So here's some of the pictures. Now, everything you see are Bucks County books being worked on in Vermont. So here's some of the old bindings. You can see how the pages were all cut. And I've saved a lot of these things for whatever reason, because I can't throw these things away. The other big enemy besides string of paper is tape. And so one of the reasons this project is costing the money that it is because so much of the pages are taped. And even people in my office today will tell me that 10 years ago, they may have taped a page. I'm hearing other people talking, FYI. So anyway, the tape is an enemy of paper. It pulls that ink off the page.
Robin.
Yes.
Excuse me, I'm going to interrupt. Audience, please be quiet. If you need to mute at home because you've got sound at home, please do so. And muting in general reduces feedback. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much. Really hard to for me to talk with you. And I miss being in person with all of you. Anyway, tape is an enemy of paper, and you can see the ink there. The tape pulls that ink off the tape. And like I said, this is iron galled ink, so it's really, really tough stuff. And again, these are all our pages. Every page takes a bath. And when I saw this, I was just shocked when I saw them put our page in the bathtub like this. But then we just came to realize that most of this paper is made of cotton. So of course the ink's not gonna run. This is like washing a t-shirt. And after our pages were bathed, then they were put out to dry on fishing wire. So these are our pages hanging to dry. And on the right side of the page, you'll see pages laying flat. The more fragile pages had to dry flat. And if you see all the little fragments, Cofile put all those back together again. Cockling, this is a procedure like when we dry clothes in the dryer and they're wrinkled and we have to iron them. This is how they iron out our pages after they've been bathed so that we get the wrinkles out. Removal of protective sheets. So once upon a time, a recorder of deeds was doing what he was supposed to do, protecting the record. And back then they thought if you put a linen sheet over the page, it would protect it, but we had to remove those. So this is what that is. And then they scraped the paste off, and I call it paste because that's what it is, like when I was a little girl and that white pasty stuff. So again, these are all our pages you're seeing. And then some of the pages had to do a solvent bath to help remove that tape. That tape was everywhere, and it's just really, really a shame. But these books have been handled a lot, because if anyone wanted to come into our office and ask to see a particular book, legally, we've got to show it to them. So they have been handled through the years. Again, more tape, tape, tape everywhere. And so I kept some tape, and you can see in this ball of tape, the dark spots and the ink pulled off from the pages. But luckily we have saved all these pages. The deacidification process for this chemical that they put on here, it's $400 for a little gallon. But remember, this is Vermont, and they assured me that everything is environmentally friendly, and I'm buying into that. Mending torn pages, instead of tape, we use Japanese linen. So this is Japanese linen, and it's heated on with a little heating iron. And when you come and visit the books in person, because I'm sorry I couldn't bring any tonight, you will see the torn pages mended with the Japanese linen, but it's done beautifully. And it really is just absolutely spectacular. Then after the pages are all done, they're placed in these polyester mylar sleeves that are UV protected, so they can be touched. No one needs gloves. When you come in to go through the books now, you can just thumb through them, and they're totally protected, and they're locked in so that no one can just take a page and leave. This is the old book cover, handmade, beautiful. I have some I'd like to display, but I have them. And then here's the finished product, and you can see how the pages are put into the book where you can't get them out. So that's our final product. And life expectancy, here's what Cofile has told me, and they have promised me that these books are gonna last 500 years. And you know, I'm gonna hold them to that. And you can see here I am in front of the new books and our new storage facility right here in the administration building in the old sheriff's department. So there they are, the new books. We have half of them finished. Where does the money come from? Okay, so I was telling you about record improvement money, and I don't know if any of you know about it. I sure didn't. It's a state law dated back to 1982 that every recorder of deeds in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania collects a $5 fee with each recording that we do. $3 of that fee stays with the recorder of deeds office to maintain and protect the record of this county. $2 goes to the county's record improvement fund, and they use it for different projects around the county. So that's the number one way that I pay for this project. And, you know, that's really been the bulk of it. And like I said, it's a state law. If I wanted to give it to the health department for the pandemic, I cannot. I have to use it to maintain this record. So I said to my Cofile rep, I need to raise money besides my record improvement fund. And he said, well, in New England, they do an adopt-a-book program. I said, I could do that. So that's what I've done. I've done a Bucks County adopt-a-book program. We've raised over $37,000 this way. And a lot of the townships and municipalities have donated money. And we, you know, if they give us a lot of money, we put their name in a book and we dedicate it to the people of that township or that municipality. And it's been really, really successful. The other way is through grants. We just received this grant for $5,000, the Pennsylvania State Grant, as you can see, from the Historical Museum Commission. So it's a really nice little grant, and we're fixing a couple books with it. And we also are getting a gauge, a temperature humidity gauge for our storage facility with this grant. The other huge grant that we received this year was the Save America's Treasures. And the reason we received this grant is because in 2018 in June, I went to another meeting of Recorder of Deeds and I met a wonderful recorder, Debbie from Washington County. And she told me that she had information and manumissions. And I don't know if you all know what a manumission is. I did not. A manumission is a document that frees an enslaved person before the Civil War. And then we found out that they are recorded in some of our miscellaneous books. So I came home and I said, do we have manumissions and records of enslaved people being freed? And sure enough, we found them. And that is why we were able to get this grant for $125,000 to fix these books, these miscellaneous books that have the records of enslaved people of Bucks County in them. And this is a picture of me and important people in our community and Katie in the hot pink shirt. She's the one that wrote the grant. And these are the miscellaneous books on their way out to Vermont this past February. They are back and they came back in May. So we have them all here and they're a treasure. Here they are. And so because of this little research project we've been very involved in, you know, telling the story of the enslaved people of Bucks County. And we do have some roots in Newtown Borough. This is County Cornwall House that you probably are all aware of. It was the first African-American, he was the first African-American to own property in Newtown. Really, this is the first house that we've been able to find throughout the whole county so far. But this is a little history on County Cornwall, and we do this in our, we did this in our Did You Know series that we run every week, and we're very proud of this. And then I know that you all know about this beautiful building. And again, just an example of what we do in our Did You Knows that we do, and we use both of these this summer. And we got a lot of great feedback about Newtown Borough. Genealogy, we do a lot of that in our office. This is Lynn Barrett in the hot pink shirt. She is our history expert. If you have any questions about anything, please call us. We love to help and to guide people along their way. Because the other thing I did this year is I opened up the deed records. So when I took over, our online resources for the public only went back to 1980. Well, I opened them up in January to go back to 1684. So now if you do want to search your property or you want to do some historic work, it's all there at your fingertips. Landex does charge a small fee, but it's available online. You don't have to leave your home. So I'm very excited about that. The other thing I've done quickly is I put in this free fraud alert system. It's really to help protect everyone in Bucks County from identity theft in our office. Once you sign up, and it's super easy because I told my vendor I had to be able to do it without my daughter, and I can do it on my own. I did it on my own, very easy. And if anybody, once you're signed up, if anybody tries to record anything in our office in your name, you will get an alert. And then you call us and we guide you through the process. Social media, my favorite page. Please like me or follow us on Facebook. We do these Did You Knows every week. We're trying to share the history of the county and some other really good things happening. We share Recycle times in the county and other important news and, you know, only things that are really important. And thanks so much. And if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
All right, thank you very much, Robin. That is really a terrific project, and it's fascinating to see, and I'm looking forward to being able to see some of the real books. It really is amazing. Also, the handwriting skills that we've lost. I do have one question for you. So how much is it on, obviously some books are different, but on average, to sponsor one book?
Well, I really liked to get $1,000 to sponsor one book. Now, some of these books cost up to $13,000 to fix. Mm-hmm. We're averaging now $4,500 because we have fixed all the really old books now. So now we're into, you know, I want to say 1700s, 1800s, but I have a whole list of books. And if you were able to give us, you know, a donation for Adopt a Book, we would pick out a book that would be special to Newtown Borough. Because that's what we do. We like to pick out a book that's special to the area, you know, that donates.
Well, that's great. Thank you. I want to see if any other members of council have any questions, and then we can see if any members of the public have any questions. Thanks.
No questions? I really am looking forward to sharing the books, and, you know, you can call me and make an appointment, and I will give you the tour and show you the books.
Does anyone from the public then have any questions about it or any comments?
Robin, I got a question.
Good, finally, Robert, yay.
If a resident wants to access the historical information for their particular home in Newtown, is there a link to your office?
Well, they do it through Landex.
Landex, okay.
Yeah, www.landex.com, or you can call us and we can tell them, and that's how you do it. And it's pretty easy.
It's really exciting because rather than having to go up to Doylestown and sit there and try to look through the old books and find the old things, and it was a lot of time to do that, then somebody who's researching their home could look online and see scans of these documents. And then if he or she wanted to go up to Doylestown and look at the actual physical papers, you know, one could, but that way the research, it sounds like it would be a lot easier.
And during the pandemic shutdown that we had, we didn't miss a beat. We were here and our title searchers were still working. They were able to work at home because I opened this up for them. I mean, I really opened it up for everybody in Bucks County. The timing, you know, I didn't know that we were going to shut down. I planned to open it, you know, and I did open it in January. But that way our title searchers here in Bucks County were able to continue working and we didn't miss a beat.
So I want to check and see, Judy, does anyone from the public have any hands up?
I don't see.
But I would like to ask a question of Robin, if I may.
Oh, yeah.
Robin, in regards to the soldier books, have they all been done also for people to have their DD-214s recorded there?
So we record those. We do not put those in books. But yes, we record them, and that's free of charge. And I really recommend all veterans to send us a copy. You know, don't send us the original, mail us in a copy, and we will record that because that's so important for your family members. If they ever need it for any reason, like my mother was one of the first women to join the United States Army in World War II. And when she needed care, I had to produce her discharge papers and the Veterans Administration then was able to help me and I was able to get some funding to help with her care. So it's really, really important to record those in case you can't find them.
But they are not in what was called the soldier's book, if I remember correctly from days past.
Now, I thought those soldier books, and that's from a long, long, long time ago, were housed over in the HR basement. And we've been trying to find them, and we have not been able to, but we've been looking for them.
Okay.
They're from a long, long time ago. We haven't even done, we don't do books anymore. You know, we have some beautiful deeds. People have donated deeds to me. Our books are the recording of the deeds.
Gotcha.
But we do have some absolutely beautiful deeds, as does the Newtown Borough Historical Society has mm-hmm. gorgeous deeds. But now, you know, when you get your deed, it's on a, you know, piece of paper. It's like a Xerox copy. It's not one of these gorgeous things anymore.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Robin, have any of the municipalities created links on their web pages to get to your office?
I like that idea. I don't know if they have. I'd say no, but that's a great idea.
Because
on my web page, which is on the county's website, yep. I have all the links for fraud alert, for adopt a book, for Landex. Everything is on our web page on the county's website. And it's under government offices, down to recorder of deeds. You know, it's hard to get to, but I would love that if that would be possible.
Okay, we'll look into that down the road a little bit.
Okay. Thank you. And you know, the public can donate. People donate $5 to, you know, Falls Township gave us $5,000, Equestria Group gave us $6,000, but all these little $10, $25 donations have really added up. And everybody who donates gets their name on the board out in the front of our office. It's a beautiful thing.
Oh, that is just terrific. Thank you so much. I'm going to confirm if there's, are there any more questions? Okay. All right. So Ms. Robinson, thank you again for joining us. We really appreciate it. And thank you for sharing the slideshow and the pictures of the process and the old books. It's been really, really neat.
Thank you so much and have a great evening. I can't thank you all enough for letting me share with you the project that we're doing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, I'm going to hand it over now to our mayor, please, for the mayor's report.
Thank you, Tara. Thank you, council. Special event reminders. we had the 9/11 fundraising event in recognition of the first responders, sponsored by the Greater Newtown Republican Club on Friday, September the 11th, 2020, from 6 to 7:30 at Pickering Field. Proceeds will be donated to the Shop with a Cop program that benefits disadvantaged children. The proceeds from that would be from the sale of the luminaries, which are being distributed among Newtown. The 5th Annual Black and White Dinner on State Street, sponsored by the Newtown Theater, will take place on Saturday, September the 12th, which is this coming Saturday, at the Newtown Theater, which is at 120 North State Street from 6 to 10 p.m. The road will be closed beginning at 3 p.m. and there is no rain date. The shofar blowing ceremony sponsored by Lubavitch of Bucks County will take place on Sunday, September the 20th, 2020 at Pickering Field from 5 to 5:30. And again, there is no rain date. I have three motions that need to be made for special event requests. There have been adoptions or corrections to these three special event requests, and I'm going to read each one individually and also mention on there, to my knowledge, what the change of event structure has been. First one, I'd like to have a motion to approve the Halloween performance sponsored by Bucks County Discovery's Dance and Theater Arts Company, which will be now held at Pickering Field, to my knowledge, on Saturday, October the 24th, 2020, from 4 to 5 p.m. The rain date is October the 25th. Excuse me.
I'll entertain a motion.
Do we have someone to make the motion?
I'll move.
Okay. I'll second.
Okay, and I'd like to note that we have confirmed that none of these dates interfere with the tournament or sandlot dates which the Council Rock Newtown Athletic Association had applied for at our prior meeting last week. We also have Ms. Christina Tuxhorn here with us in case anyone has any questions.
Well, I was just going to say the reason I didn't make the motion right away is I wasn't sure if we wanted the wording, and she did note this on our application about the social distancing.
I think the only thing that changed on there, Nicole, was the location.
No. I said our motion didn't include when we've been approving these events. So that's why I didn't jump on it right away. But
since it's on the application, you know, I think that would be fine. But yes, I think you're right, Tara or Nicole. Thank you.
Well, Bob wasn't here last week when we were making these various motions where we added the phrasing about observing the strictest CDC or Bucks County Health Department guidelines regarding COVID-19. And we were adding that to all the motions. And so I think we should add that to this motion as well.
And it's also just because there's three events. So not only is it going to be to the current date, but it'll be the date at that time. So, I mean, God forbid, but if for whatever reason things change, then we would need to, I don't know, reevaluate the ones that are further.
I think things are going to be remaining the same through the November 21st one. Because
I hope. No, believe me, I'm all in.
No,
and the motion is to comply with CDC, county, and state guidelines. Then whatever those guidelines are at that point, that's what Ms. Hexmore needs to comply with, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've amended the motion to include that event?
Bob has not, but he can.
I amend. You have to state the whole thing? Okay.
I don't think so. And I second.
Okay. Any further questions? Any questions for Ms. Tuxman?
Well, I would ask her if she could please explain what exactly will be happening at this event.
Hi. We are, I'm okay to talk now? Sorry. Okay. So we have performed in a lot of events in the past years. We're a dance studio. We don't compete anywhere. We perform with over 16 nursing homes throughout the area, Shady Brook Farms, Pillars Village, and do a ton of events, which of course all of those events this year are getting a little bit, we can't do any of our nursing homes. We're going to be video streaming to the nursing homes, but we're looking for events for our kids to do for the community. We are still working with Shady Brook Farms and Pillars Village. So we are just looking to bring our students out to perform socially distant. We have classes going on outside with masks. We're not even dancing indoors right now, unless it rains. So we are taking every precaution, but what we're doing is for each event, just having a hosting of community performances to give back to the community. The kids dance on the grass. We don't bring in stages or anything extravagant. It's just something really nice and sweet. The three of them is a Halloween, which is going to be a shorter performance with Halloween dances. Then we have our kickoff to the holidays, which is the Thanksgiving weekend before Thanksgiving. And then we have our Nutcracker performance. So we are a fairly large dance studio with over 300 students, but what we would do would break up each class. So one class would come at a time with their parents, and then they would dismiss. Then the next class would come in and then they would dismiss. So we can keep those numbers low and keep the socially distance. Our kids know to dance in the 6-foot squares that they're used to. And parents also know to stay, you know, far away from each other with masks on and everything.
Question? Where are you proposing to do this?
Right now we change it to Pickering Field.
Okay, thank you.
Including the November and December performances?
Yeah.
Okay.
We thought that would be a better, a more open space for everyone to keep the distance rather than a street closure.
Any other questions?
Christina, where is your studio now?
We are in the Brookside Barn, right behind Chandler Hall in the residential area, but we're in the barn.
Oh, okay.
Okay, great. All right, we've got a motion. I've got a second. We've got our discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any nays?
Motion passed. Council members, just a reminder that you need to unmute yourselves during the vote so that we can hear everybody.
Yes.
Aye.
Yes.
Okay, great. All right, thank you. All right.
The next motion is to approve the kickoff of the holiday performance, which was just discussed, sponsored by the Bucks County Discoveries Dance and Theater Arts Company. Again, it will be at Pickering Field on Saturday, November the 21st from 12 until 4 p.m. The rain date will be on November the 22nd, which is a Sunday, So if I could have a motion for that, and I guess I will just read into it that it would be all CDC and Bucks County guidelines that are in effect at the date of that performance.
I move to approve the kickoff to the holidays performance with all relevant CDC or Bucks County social distancing in effect at the date.
Marv, I think we were adding state, just like doing all the hierarchy.
Okay. Bucks County, state, and CDC.
Okay. I second.
Thank you.
All right. I don't know if there's any further discussion or question. Again, this is similar to the last one. Right. Motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes.
And finally, a motion to approve the Nutcracker performance sponsored by the Bucks County Discoveries Dance and Theater Arts Company on Pickering Field on Sunday, December the 6th, 2020, from 12:30 to 3:30 p.m. The rain date is Sunday the 13th, 2020. Again, following all CDC, state, and Bucks County guidelines for CDC protocol.
So moved.
A second.
Any further questions?
I got a question. Will these events be posted on our webpage so the community knows about this?
I can do that. Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay, good. Just because we have a calendar of all the events. So if people are looking at that, they'll find these events. Okay, thank you.
All right, does anyone else from the public have any questions or comments about these events? Okay, all right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any nays?
Aye.
All right, motion passes. All right.
Council President, thank you. That's all I have this evening.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations and good luck with things.
Thank you so much.
Okay. I'd like to move on to consideration for the proposal for an organizational assessment and administrative analysis of the Newtown Borough's operation, administrative structure, documents, and other related functions to review its performance to determine current strengths and opportunities for improvement, and its ability to meet the present and future challenges facing the borough. This is the proposal which everyone has received from Mr. David Wadlam of the Minor Center at Lafayette College. And I know we all had agreed that we would be interested in asking him for the proposal. The cost is for $4,000, not to exceed $4,000, a rate of $95 per hour, this will be not to exceed $4,000 plus travel expenses. And I hope everyone's been able to take the time to look at his proposal and consider it. And at this point, I would like to see if anyone has any questions, comments, and then move forward on making a decision.
Do you need a motion first?
I guess, Tara, do you want discussion first or motion and second?
Well, we don't have a motion on there. If someone would like to make the motion, you absolutely can. Up to where how council feels at this point about it.
So I'm sorry, Marvin, did you have a comment you wanted to make? I thought we had to make a motion before we had discussion. Sorry.
Yeah, I just have questions. But.
Yeah, we can discuss it and someone can say, hey, I want to do X, Y, and Z, or can we ask for whatever, or I don't like blah, 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 and then we revisit it. But if somebody says, I'm good with this, I think this is terrific, then you can make a motion, we can discuss it, and then vote on the motion. Ideally, I would like to have a vote tonight, but I recognize that, there may be members of council who are not prepared for one reason or another.
One thing I will just say, Nicole just texted me. She accidentally disconnected, so she just needs a minute. So if you want to hold off on that motion, just
a moment, right.
Second.
Mm-hmm.
So did we decide we were discussing it all before the motion, or?
I think we're waiting for Nicole, okay, so that everybody's here. So I guess it's like when somebody has to get up and excuse themselves to use the restroom or blow their nose or something. It's sort of the same thing. We're all waiting. We're going to drink of water if you need to.
She's coming in now.
Here she is. Great. Hey, Nicole.
I'm so sorry. I was dying of heat and I just unplugged everything.
No.
I'm in the attic.
Oh, goodness. That's okay. Thanks. We're glad you could make it back. And I don't know if you missed anything. I'm not sure when you went out.
You're muted, Nicole.
You're muted.
You started talking and I was off, so I feel bad. I mean, I know what we're talking.
Okay. Did you hear the beginning that now we're on to Dave Waglum, the consultant, and his proposal?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So what I was saying is that if someone would like to make a motion to accept the proposal and hire him to do this job, then someone can make that motion. But I didn't put the motion into the agenda because someone may say, hey, you know, I'm not ready. I want to do, you know, I have questions about whatever. And then, you know, we would follow up on that. So if everybody feels comfortable with it and we'd like to bring him in for his proposal, then we can go forward with that.
So Marv, why don't you go ahead with your discussion, questions, whatever it was, before I make the motion.
Oh, okay. I guess the first one was, has there already been any scope toward recommendations that are relevant towards our size, you know, organization, and as opposed to, well, here are all the most extreme ways that you could, you know, potentially improve things. You know, I'm thinking of some other reports that came out. Maybe not that the borough had sought that.
Yeah, no, he will come in and really take a look at us, and this would be tailored for us. The Miners Center is highly regarded, and he has, in CV, a tremendous amount of experience with it. And this is really specifically work that he does, rather than hiring a general company who, you know, may or may not have different depths to which they analyze the information.
Is this already in the 2020 budget, or is this being looked at in terms of 2021?
It was not in the 2020 budget. That would be a separate decision. One is, do we want to do this with them and accept this proposal? And then the second piece would be, and this would be in consult, I think, with Pat and the budget committee, would be, is this something we would want to pursue this fall? Or would we want to put it in the budget for next year?
Did we have money set aside in the budget to pursue the idea of a borough manager? I know we had talked about it last year.
Yes. I don't know if it's in the budget. I know we talked about it. I'd have to go check.
I can try to look real quick.
I'm sorry, Nicole?
I was going to say, I can try to look real quick if you just want to keep talking, because I know that was something that we did talk about.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to say was, I know that I had sent, Tara, I know I had sent you a long list of things that I wanted this person to consider or should be in our request for proposal. And I don't know if you actually sent that list, but I would say that most of the items that I had listed in my personal desire for evaluation have shown up in his letter.
I did send that to him.
Okay, so there was some personalizing of his response to our request. Okay.
And everybody in council had seen your list, and that was, I think we had that on the agenda the other month to just look and see what things we might want to add, and everybody agreed you had a very thorough list there, and the ideas they had were things that were also on your list. So I just sent that to him as a sort of consolidated.
Yeah. So his proposal was very responsive to our request.
So I would like to make a motion to accept a proposal from David Woglum, is that how you say his name, to do an assessment of the borough. And I would like it to be done this year, not wait until next year. I think there's some urgency.
Hey, Susan? Can I ask you, please, suggest for your motion, you can make your motion however you like, but may I suggest that we have one motion, whether or not we do it, and the other motion about the spending, because if somebody says no because they don't want to do it this year, now I've also said no to the hiring of the consultant. So are you okay with having two separate motions? Or you want
to Sure. So I make the motion to accept the proposal of David Woglum to do an assessment of the organization of Newtown Borough in the amount of not to exceed $4,000 plus travel.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion, we have a second. Do we have any other discussion about hiring him, accepting the proposal, hiring his consultant?
So is there anything in here that specifically states that if the proposal is accepted, it has to be done within a certain amount of time, either because of price or anything else? Because we need to keep that. There can't be anything in the proposal that would restrict us on when it would be done.
No, there is not. I would assume that at some point it would expire, but does not lay that out. I think if we came back in 5 years, he might have something else, but I don't think he's, except assuming that. In my verbal conversations with him on the telephone, I've noted that, you know, the start date, we still need to determine that. And once he gets going, he says he gets going, and he's, you know, he doesn't take forever to do it. But we can determine that. So, but it does not specify that, you know, it will change in January.
Did he, and as sort of a follow-up to that, when you were speaking with him, did he have any, give you any indication of how long it would take for him to get started once the proposal was accepted?
Fairly soon, you know, within a couple, I'm trying to think, when I had this conversation with him, it was probably July, and then he said, you know, we might get to start this fall. So he is fairly free. It's not like we would be sitting around waiting for months and months and months. If we went back to him and said, yes, please, you know, he might be able to start in November, but I'm just throwing that out as a guess. I don't want to say for sure. But there's not a long, long, long waiting list. So.
And I guess the other question, once the proposal is accepted, does that mean it does eventually have to be done? Or is there some sort of penalty? If it weren't put on this year's budget? But didn't make next year's budget?
Oh, no, that would be fine, yeah. Lauren's nodding her head.
Yeah, so he's getting paid at the rate of $95 per hour, so he would only get paid for work that he actually performed. So until he gets the go-ahead from council, he would not start his work, and he would not get paid.
I got a question. Is this service contract terminable by the borough council at its sole discretion? So if we don't want to go with this fellow anymore for any reason whatsoever, can we get out of this contract?
Yes, it's a professional service, so it can be terminated. You would just, the borrower would be on the hook for payment for any actual work that was performed. But yes, the borrower could cancel it if they wanted to.
Thank you very much.
Do we have any questions or comments from the public? All right, so we've had a motion, second, discussion, all in favor? Aye.
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 Any nays? Motion passes. All right, Nicole, were you able to find anything?
So I'm not seeing the line item, but that doesn't mean it's not.
All right, your sound is in and out, but I heard we're not seeing something, 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 but that doesn't mean.
I said I'm not seeing the exact line item, but it does sound familiar to me. So, even reviewing the proposal, I kind of was like, oh yeah, that is under what we put aside, but I'm just not actually seeing it. So, I mean, if it's my only concern would be just because of like COVID and the way that money is not exactly the way it was last year. But there has been some savings in weird areas as well.
And the calculations show the difference between this year and last year is not as significant.
It's not horrible.
So it's fairly good. I don't know, Sue, do you want to make your motion to do it this fall? Do you want to put any qualifying, per the assent of a treasurer or anything like that on it? What do you think?
I would like to make the motion that we accept this proposal and we do this study yet this year. I think that, that's my motion. I think that this guy has an incredible resume, very good references, and frankly, I was stunned at how inexpensive this is. I think it's a great deal. I think the sooner we can get this done, then the sooner we can put to bed any concerns about, are we organized the way we should be? Are we not? Do we need a borough manager? Do we need one part-time? Do we not? I think it would be really good to do it as quickly as feasible.
Is there a motion needing a second?
Yes, we're waiting for a second.
All right, I'll second it.
All right, questions, discussion?
There's been definite history of not moving forward with proposals in the current budget year that hadn't been budgeted. So I certainly think we should be consistent with the prior one that actually wasn't even allowed to be voted on. So I will probably be coming back with that one to have the first half at least related to the tree survey.
That's a very good point.
I'm leaning to agree only because we could, just get some sort of confirmation. I apologize that I didn't know that this was happening tonight, or I would have found out from Pat today. Did anyone touch base with Pat today?
I didn't. My thought was we were voting on, or I was hoping that we would vote, but the discussion was whether or not we accept the proposal. Then the next question would be, when do we do it? And I wanted to check with Pat and the budget committee and make that determination. So,
right.
Lauren, and this is not some, we're not talking about spending $20,000 here, but if the government makes a motion and it's accepted and voted on to spend monies on a project, And then you go to the municipality treasurer who says, oh my goodness, where are we supposed to get this money from? Is that something we can say, well, we want to do it and then we'll find it here or there or the other place?
So council has the ability to move funds between budgets. So if there's a budget that, you know, there was $10,000 budgeted, but only $5,000 was spent, funds can be shifted. And, you know, if there were funds appropriated for this particular matter, then obviously that would be appropriate. And you can always approve the proposal tonight and investigate further, come back next month. You can make the approval tonight contingent on the resolution of whether or not this was a line item in the budget and discussion with Pat further. So you do have some options as to how you'd like to proceed or if you'd like to delay it.
This is not a line item in the budget, and right. I mean, I would agree with Sue that like it's a good idea to get going, and if we can, which I hope we can, that then we do so and not have to wait till next month.
So this is coming up later in the agenda, but we're putting in a change order to save $9,700 on the road project. So I don't have any real concerns about us not having the money to spend.
All right, very good.
Again, there was another proposal that came first, though.
I think this one's more important, personally.
Well, that's personal.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. That's what I said.
It is a cost difference, but you're right.
Yeah, we have been talking about. Sorry, Tara. We have been talking about evaluating the administrative structure of the borough for years. And if we keep pushing this off, we're going to be yet another year where we haven't addressed what is becoming a very significant problem for the borough from an administrative point of view. And $4,000 is not a lot of money. I think that it is more emergent or more of an immediate concern than, I know the tree inventory was proposed before. The tree inventory can be put off a year. I think that this is something that really should be addressed sooner rather than later. So I think that we ought to make the motion to approve it. And if it turns out that we absolutely can't do it, then we can come back and revisit whether we can put it off till the new year. But I don't think the borough is in such a situation that it has to be concerned about spending $4,000 that wasn't expecting to spend.
So it would be appropriate, Robert's rules, to move to table, or does this need to be voted on first? I mean, we have voted on and approved the idea that it should be done. It's only the idea of voting so immediately about whether it should be done ASAP.
So, and the motion to approve the proposal has been approved, and then we're just deciding the timing now. I believe that there is a motion on the floor to approve the expenditure for the 2020 year. I apologize, I don't recall if that has yet been seconded.
It has.
So the discussion is ongoing. If there is a motion to table and a motion to second, all further discussion would stop and a vote would be taken on the motion to table immediately.
I move to table the motion.
I second.
So a vote on the motion to table would be appropriate now.
All right, vote on the motion to table.
You want us to say it?
So all in favor of tabling it, say aye.
Aye.
All right, any nays?
Nay.
Okay. No, Sue, you were nay. Bob, you were nay. I was a nay. Julia, what were you?
I was a nay.
Nay. Namar was a yes. Nicole was a yes. Okay.
Now it would be appropriate to think if there's any further discussion on the original motion, then that can resume. If there is not, then it would be appropriate to move that forward to the vote.
All right. And I would comment that one is not to the exclusion of the other. And it is now September. So are there any other further comments or questions from council? Any comments or questions from the public? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any nays?
Nay.
Nay.
All right, motion passes.
How many ayes and how many nays were there, Tara?
We had two nays and
four ayes.
Four ayes. Okay, I wasn't sure how many ayes got in there. Okay.
Yeah. So, on to the next one. That would be the certificates of appropriateness, Sue. But we do have one item which is for the under the engineering. You're going to, okay, you've got that up first. So, we have Susan Markey here. Okay, so we will talk about the driveway apron application immediately following the HARB COA applications. All right, I'll turn it over to you, Sue.
Thanks. I make a motion to follow the recommendation of the Historic Architectural Review Board and direct the President of Council to sign the following certificates of appropriateness, thereby approving the historical appropriateness of the applications with final approval by the Code Enforcement Officer. COA 2020-029, 120 South State Street. The applicant is seeking a certificate of appropriateness for the installation of two window signs for smooth routes. HARB recommended approval of the application as presented. Second one is COA 2020-030, 115 Liberty Street. The applicant is seeking a certificate of appropriateness for alterations to a 20, it says inch, but it's actually foot garden wall. HARB recommended approval of the application as presented. COA 2020-031, 5 South State Street. Applicant is seeking a certificate of appropriateness for the replacement of a door and installation of a new patio and wood fencing. HARB recommended approval of the application as presented, noting that the French doors will be a pair of 6-foot double door units with side lights and will be aluminum clad wood with full glass and no divided lights. And noting that the approval does not include the patio and fencing included in the application. And lastly, COA 2020-032, 127 Court Street. The applicant is seeking a certificate of appropriateness for the installation of a new transom window on the north side of the building and replacement of a side porch door. HARB recommended approval of the application as presented, noting that the door will be a new or salvaged 15 light wood door with true or simulated divided light, and the window on the north side would be aluminum clad with simulated divided light.
All right, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. I'm looking for applicants who are here. I see Miss Mary Deneen. Mary, do you have any comments about your application?
No. I had a quick question. For the Temperance House, when it said that the approval does not, I don't know if Sue, if you were at that meeting, the
okay,
approval
does Nicole, not. Nicole, I'm sorry. Mary Deneen just unmuted. So I wanted to, just because she's an applicant for hers.
I apologize.
Yeah, that's okay. So she unmuted, but then she muted again. So I'm not sure. Mary, did you have anything to say?
She said no.
No. Okay. All right. Thanks. Okay. So you have a question?
I do. Yeah. With the Temperance House, why are they not approving the patio and the fencing? I'm just wondering. Like, I don't know what happened at the meeting.
The owner actually, I don't want to say withdrew that piece, but is not ready to proceed with that piece yet. So just ask for approval for the door.
All right, part of it is there's the impervious surface in the application going through the code enforcement office. And I know she needs to get that lined up. And then there's a question, the zoning approval that may need to be sought because she right now there's grass, and if she puts a patio in that's now a pervious surface, unless she decides to convert part of the parking area to grass, but then people who are staying in the hotel and the employee parking that's used. So she needs to figure that out.
Okay.
She's working with Matt McCluskey at the moment on that part.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Question?
Mm-hmm. Bob?
What is a street sign for the CBD store? What kind of sign is that?
What's the CBD store? Sorry, which one are you talking about?
It was the first one you read, the sign.
Oh, it's painted on the glass.
Okay, painted on the glass.
Yeah.
Does the applicant know you can't have the flashing light signs?
Yeah, but again, this is painted on. It's two signs and they're painted physically on the glass. There's nothing lit. Yeah.
So we don't have a lit sign issue. Okay.
No.
Just a lot of clarification. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions or comments? Any questions or comments from the public? All right, we've got a motion, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes. All right, thank you. All right, we'll move on to the engineer's report, Michelle.
Thank you. First item for tonight is a frontage permit that was submitted at 415 Liberty Street for the Markies. And it is a permit to replace their bituminous apron and concrete sidewalk with concrete modular bricks. There is two code sections, chapter 129-1 and chapter 480-41, that say that if you are repairing your sidewalk or concrete apron, you have to replace it in kind unless it is bituminous. And in that case, it has to be replaced with concrete. So for those reasons, and after talking with the zoning officer, it was determined that Ms. Markey should come before council to get approval or denial to put in these concrete modular bricks as her concrete apron and sidewalk. And I believe Ms. Markey is on the Zoom call tonight.
Yes, I'm here.
It's my understanding also, Michelle, that there is also the secondary consideration, but this would need to be done after Ms. Markey's application, that we may be looking at the ordinance, and Julie and I, we have talked about that as well, that we may want to update it to include things such as this, so that the applicant would then not have to come before council. But the other question that I have for you, Michelle, has to do with the Newtown Artesian digging the trench in Liberty Street to update their pipes next year, which we've just learned that's on their plan for 2021. And there was some question about whether or not Ms. Markey would want to wait for her apron until that was done, just so that the beautiful new stones aren't impacted by the asphalt. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I spoke to Ms. Markey at the end of last week about this and notified her that next year's road program will include the section of Liberty Street that is along her frontage. And if she gets approval tonight, that I'm going to strongly recommend that it not be replaced until after next year's road program is done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Sue, do you have any questions about that?
No, but I did tell Michelle that we have no problem with putting it off until after the street is done.
Okay. All right, thanks. All right,
I just have one quick question. What, just the material, it's on the assuming it's going to be, it looked like it was like herringbone, so it's kind of like a brick, but just not a brick.
Correct. Yeah. It's a brick shape, but it is made out of concrete pavers that are rated for driveways.
Gotcha. And then Tara said earlier about adding something like this to our ordinance in the future, I think this is looking at your apron and upgrade for sure. So I think that it is maybe something that we should consider adding if it, first of all, is like you said, good for aprons in general for cars, but also I'm assuming it's less slippery. So I don't know, I just wanted to put that out there.
Mm-hmm. I
have one question for Ms. Markey, and that is, I wanted to know what the color is that you're proposing, and what we received, I didn't know if it was black and white, but it looked grayish. Is there a color?
It is a dark gray.
Okay, so there is another section of the Saldo ordinance that I came across after reviewing Julia's edits that says that concrete modular bricks shall be through colored units emulating the color of natural brick. So if you again approve it tonight, we might want to include that in the motion, that she's allowed to put in modular bricks that are grayish in color.
Right, okay. All right, so the motion, if council wishes to make it, is council, and then it would be either approves or denies, but you make the motion, council approves the frontage permit application to replace a bituminous driveway apron and concrete sidewalk located at 15 Liberty Street with the paver material included in the submission documents. And then for Michelle, I would add a statement that the paver color is to be dark gray as specified in the application.
Are we still doing discussion, or are we waiting until
a motion and second? Yet, right?
This is me, we did no motion yet. This is me saying this would be the motion for council to approve it if somebody is interested in making that motion.
Marv, if you want, I'll make the motion and then we'll discuss.
I think we've been, there was some discussion a little bit. Just one quick one, it's almost just observation. I've definitely seen historical precedent for pavers for driveway aprons. I don't know that I recall any precedents for pavers for sidewalks, but definitely I've seen it for driveway aprons, whether they were approved or not. That's another thing.
Right.
By historical precedents, are you talking about what's in the borough? Because we definitely have pavers in the borough. A number of sidewalks have been paved with the brick pavers that look like regular brick, but are actually concrete, and they are the color of brick. And this was addressed a number of when the ordinance was updated the last time I was on council, and we were concerned that we had a number of people who were replacing their sidewalks and driveway aprons and driveways with a variety of materials, and we wanted to be more standard. And so one of the options, the options were smooth concrete, bluestone, brick, or concrete pavers that look like brick. And that's what the wording that Michelle used about size, material, color, and so on. And that's in the Saldo for new, and as Michelle pointed out when I was talking with her before, is that doesn't yet apply to repair or replacement of current sidewalks, which actually when we passed that Saldo change, we actually thought we were upgrading it for existing sidewalks, but I guess we didn't do that. So we will try to do it now. One of my questions is, is herringbone pattern, is that appropriate for a driveway apron? Or should it, typically the brick, when brick is laid in a driveway apron, it's usually in parallel to the street.
Can I comment on that?
Sure.
It doesn't have to be herringbone. It can be a running bond. It can be whatever you prefer. I don't really care about the direction of the placement. I just prefer the product itself.
because the option council has, according to our ordinance as it is right now, is that council permits another material if more suitable for the immediate neighborhood. That, and that term, I think, would allow us to talk about how we'd like the brick laid or the pavers laid.
May I my comment would be, I would want the professionals with whom Ms. Markey is working, and any comment from Michelle, if you're aware, just, you know, materials engineering, different directions may make a difference in terms of the weight of the vehicles going up at that angle, and whether or not there'll be depressions, whether or not they'll separate, and I'm sure there's ways to put them together that are better than others, and that, so that's not really a visual determination, it's more of a business determination. I just wouldn't want to counsel to say, hey, we think it should look like this, and then it turns out that's really not the best way to do it when you're angling up into a driveway and having a vehicle go on it. So that's my observation.
Tara?
Bob?
What are the adjoining sidewalks composition currently?
Concrete.
All the way up on both sides, next, the two houses on either side are concrete?
I believe so. Sue, this is Ms. Markey, this is your...
Yes.
Yeah.
We have concrete in front of our house, and the house next door to us has concrete.
Okay.
The church has concrete.
And the church has concrete.
Okay. Tara, when you made the introduction, did you inform that Liberty Street is being done because it's on the water company list?
Yeah, that was part of the conversation earlier.
Okay, because Ms. Markey, I don't know if they have to fix anything coming into your house, but just be mindful of that.
Yeah, she talked to Michelle about that. That's part of what we talked about earlier. Okay.
Thank you very much. Call the question?
We don't have a motion yet. I read the language of what the motion should be for Michelle, but nobody has made the motion yet. We've been discussing. We don't have a motion on the table.
So I'd like to make a motion to approve the frontage permits application to replace the bituminous driveway apron and concrete sidewalk located at 415 Liberty with the paver material included.
15 Liberty.
Oh, it is? Oh, 15 Liberty. With the paver material included. Paver color.
Are you muted? Nicole, you're muted. So you said with the paver colors, and then
I glitched.
Yeah. And you just finished. So you're saying it, which included in the submission documents.
The last line was the paver color will be dark gray.
Okay. All right. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Is there any further discussion? Any question or comment from the public?
So just to clarify, then it will be as stated on the application. And if the engineer and the landscaper think the herringbone's appropriate, then.
That's what's on the application right now, yeah. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Thank you. I think it's
a lot.
Thanks so much. All right, take care.
The second item I have for you is an update on this year's road program. All of the concrete work is concrete and curb work is complete. That's the concrete curb at 214 North Chancellor and the stonework along the State Street property that also has frontage along Mercer, and all of the handicap ramps are complete. with the rain last week, the stone that was used to backfill the handicap ramps washed away, and the contractor was out today to stabilize those areas. They backfill them with stone when they think that they're going to come back with a relatively short period of time to pave them. And we learned at the end of last week that his date for paving will probably be the week of September 28th. So if that changes, I will update Judy and so she could get it onto the website. So that is the update of this year's road program, unless somebody has a question for me.
Yes, Bob. I did morning visits to the site prior to last Wednesday, and the construction crew was very congenial. You could tell they were highly professional. Neighbors came out and asked questions, and the questions were answered thoroughly. It was a good experience. It was a very good experience.
Good. I will pass that along to them.
I would certainly echo that. I was out several times. I do have one question, but it's more for Judy or maybe the rest of council, and that is, in addition to just putting this on our website, how are we going to notify folks? And I guess a piece of that is we need to understand the duration. Like, is the road going to be closed during, you know, 8 to 5 and then people can drive on it again, or is it going to be closed on garbage day? All those kinds of details we'll need to get and let people know.
Okay, I think I can answer that. As we talked about at the pre-construction meeting, that's up to the contractor to notify the residents, and we'll make sure that he gets those notices in the mailbox or at the doors several days before he's scheduled to work. And we'll also find out his scheduling, which road he plans on doing first, and how long it's going to take him to do each road.
And do you believe that the road will be open at night, or will it be closed for a number of days? Any idea?
I believe that it'll be open at night, but I'll verify that with him.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. And Michelle, if I can use this moment also to put a plug in public for signing up for the news and events from the borough on our website, because that would be one other way that residents would be notified in addition to the signs put up by the construction crew. So thanks.
Question for Michelle. Since Chancellor Street goes up the hill before the entrance to the Pickering Manor, is that the name of the place? Do we have to coordinate with the township to close that street from their side?
No, I don't. We'll certainly let the township know. I'll communicate with the township what the schedule is, but I don't think we'll be closing any access to Pickering Manor with the construction.
We would move it on this side of the driveway, on our, you know, closer to our side, so that there'd be no interruption to the center. But if you're coming over the hill, you won't know that that closure is going to be there. So we have to make sure there's an alert system higher on the hill.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item is change order number one for this year's road program. It is a credit to eliminate 5 crosswalks on Mercer Street. 4 of them are at Mercer and Court, and 1 is at Mercer and Congress, and to eliminate 2 crosswalks at Center Avenue and Court Street. My iPad did something there. That would be a credit of $6,114 to the contract. It also includes a credit to the unit price of the concrete curb that was installed along 214 North Chancellor Street. If you remember, we talked about this, about the curb along this property. It was supposed to be concrete because that's what was there. The stone curb was cheaper, so we agreed to have it as a stone curb. The contractor said that he could not get any additional stone curb, but he agreed to install the concrete curb at the stone curb price, which is $61.87 per linear feet. So that would amount to a credit of $3,609.75. And with those two items, it's a total credit of $9,723.75.
All right, I'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion to approve the change order. Do I need to read the whole thing? The Michelle just change order number one to the 2020 roadway improvement program.
So you can say so moved if you want to.
So moved. And I just wanted to add, in case people aren't clear, that these crosswalks don't exist now. It's not that we're taking anything away. It's we're not adding something that Bob and I probably mistakenly put in there to begin.
And thank you for the clarification. All right. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any questions or discussions?
The only thing I was going to say is just because the gentleman at the house at 214 North Chancellor came to one of our meetings, is he okay with this change of concrete? I mean, I know the price is the same, but I feel like he thought the concrete wasn't necessary as well.
He did feel that way, that the concrete, that he felt that no curb was necessary at all, but it was at a prior council meeting that council agreed to have the curb installed in front of his property. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's okay, no, I understand that. I guess I was just saying, I think he was more happy with the stone when that was a discussion, so I was just wondering.
Yeah, well, we notified him that we were going to do the concrete, and I'll just say that he still was not happy.
But the price is at the stone price.
It correct. Is, yes. Correct.
Thanks.
Any other questions? Public? All in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes.
And then you have my engineer's report. It was part of the packet. Susan and I will be touring the roads to determine next year's road program, which will be in addition to that one block along Liberty Street. For next year's road program, we'll be meeting at the end of this week to discuss the roads. State and Court Street development, we received the revised plans, so we expect that will be on the October Planning Commission agenda for review. And for the stormwater MS4 permit, the annual report is required to be submitted to DEP by the end of this month. Julia and Judy have reviewed it, and it as soon as Council President is able to sign it, it will be submitted to DEP.
I was going to say, so Michelle, the survey that done, is that part of that? I just didn't see like that in our files.
You broke up. I think you said, is the road survey part of that?
No, not the road. Remember, we were getting a survey of the swell.
Oh, right. Right, we are working on the getting the legal descriptions for the two adjacent properties on either side of the swale. We're still writing them up. They'll be submitted to Lauren and Mike for review to get so that they could get agreements together for those two adjacent properties.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Sure. Yeah? Yeah.
One more item. If you received your newsletter from Perry Warren, Warren over the weekend, on the bottom of the page with your address, it informs of the PennDOT 5-year upcoming program. And Newtown Borough is identified for a repaving of State Street no later than 2024. Now, we don't know whether that's from the bypass to Frost or Center to Washington. We don't know any information, but it's good news that PennDOT is stepping forward and we're going to have a rebuild of that. And add that to the list, Michelle.
So, we'll be working with PennDOT to learn more. And thank you very much, Bob.
Okay, thank you, everybody.
Okay, solicitor's report. Lauren?
Good evening. Just a few items on our report this evening. The first would be a motion to appoint attorney Russell Sacco as special counsel for the Newtown Borough Human Relations Commission at the rate of $180 per hour. The scope of the representation shall be limited to the matter currently pending before the Human Relations Commission.
So moved.
Second. Motion second. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nay?
Tara?
Yes.
The HRC met on Monday for their organizational meeting, and Mary Gonzalez has been named chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. The next motion is a motion to adopt resolution number 98-2020A, creating a policy for compliance with the Pennsylvania Right to Know law. And we're happy to answer any questions on that.
Okay, we've had that before us for a period of time. I'm sure everybody's had a chance to look at the different iterations and now, so we are finally here. So I'll entertain a motion.
I move to adopt the resolution 9-8-2020A.
Second. We got a motion second. Any questions or discussion? Sue, for the benefit of the public who are members of the public who are with us today, who may or may not have been with us over the process of this, would you please give a very brief summary of what the policy is?
Sure. The borough adopted a policy in 2008, but it was a little bit out of date. And so some of the provisions were not in compliance with what's required. So there were some changes to that. And probably more importantly, the form, rather than having our own form for right to know, we changed it to be the Pennsylvania openrecords.pa.gov form so that we're consistent with that as well. Otherwise, it's pretty much the same as we had before, just updated to make it compliant with current law.
All right, thank you. All right, and then any questions, comments from council? Any questions or comments from the public? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any nays?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, next on the agenda is another resolution regarding policy, and it would be a motion to adopt resolution number 98-2020B, creating a policy for the rules of conduct at public meetings. And I believe that this has been circulated and discussed as well, and we are happy to answer any questions regarding that. And this this sets forth a number of policies consistent with the Sunshine Act and the Borough Code, which governs the public meetings for the Borough Council.
And Sue, again, for the benefit of the public, would you like to give, I know there's a rather long, lengthy element to the procedure, but say the portion that would apply to the public for behavior, which I think everybody can expect, but to help everybody understand what the policy says.
Sure. So we, to my knowledge, there never was one in the borough before, but it's a very common policy to have that discusses people's right to speak, the fact that we ask them to sign in to state their name and address. It talks about conduct. We can't, nor should we, keep someone from speaking just because we don't like what they're saying. And so this specifically says that that's not something that we can do. It does talk about hopefully treating each other with respect. It also discusses use of recording devices, which is permitted, but there are some parameters around that where you can put them and you know, not impede view, those kinds of things. And you can't have like spotlights in the meeting while you're recording.
And then I would add that you can engage members of the public in argument or speak out from their seats or engage one another in argument. So while you can disagree and criticize, you can't be disruptive, I guess would be the quick summary. But you have the right to be speak. Right. Thank you. Any questions or comments from council? All right, any questions or comments from the public?
All right, did we have a motion?
I don't think we did.
I don't think so.
Right, you know, since Laura can't make the motion. Thank you, Julia. All right, okay, sure. So who wants to make
the motion? I make a motion to adopt resolution number 9-8-2020B, creating a policy for conduct at public meetings.
Second.
All right, I have a motion, second. We've had some discussion. Any further discussion or questions? I'll be back to the public again. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Motion passes. All right, thank you so much for all the hard work on this. This is great. All right,
Laura? Hey, and the last action item on this evening's agenda under our report is a motion to adopt resolution 9-8-2020C, which would authorize the execution of a cable franchise agreement between Newtown Borough and Comcast of Southeast Pennsylvania LLC. This is the Borough is part of the Bucks County Consortium, which has been working with Comcast to negotiate a new franchise agreement. Council has been provided a copy of the agreement along with an executive summary from the Cohen Group, who is the law firm that was representing the consortium in the negotiations. We did review the resolution and it is in a form that is acceptable for council's approval this evening.
I move to adopt resolution 9-8-2020C, authorizing execution of a cable franchise agreement between Newtown Borough and Comcast of Southeast Pennsylvania LLC.
Second.
All right, Mark, for the benefit of the public, can I ask you to do the same thing, just a brief summary of what is a cable franchise agreement?
So I worked with representatives from about 12 other municipalities on this in this consortium, and essentially the high level of what a cable franchise is the cable company utilizes borough facilities, rights of way, and therefore it has been deemed appropriate that there be a percentage of revenue that is turned over to the municipality in question. So this agreement outlines a number of different aspects on how that agreement would be in terms of reporting information, how responsive, the rules on being responsive to customers, as well as a number of other factors. There are a couple of things that are particular to Newtown Borough that I will state, and that is we did get as part of this, it's not universal ever, but everybody, but for us, we did get a $5,500 grant, which is to go toward the new equipment that was, you know, was and is still being purchased in terms of putting out the cable TV signal. The other thing that has changed since the last one from about 10 years ago is that the FCC had a new ruling. There used to be what would could truly be called a courtesy service, that a municipality could designate certain schools or public facilities to get cable service. What the FCC did within current federal administration is to say, oh, never mind, that's not really courtesy. If you get anything, it actually gets subtracted away from your franchise fee that you'll be getting. So essentially, you're paying for it anyways. So you may have noticed right now there's a blank Exhibit A on where we want courtesy service to go. We can decide to designate. I do not believe that we have any right now, but if we do decide to put any down, we do end up paying for it anyways.
Okay. Thank you. And that also, the agreement, it allows them to do the things they need to do, to come in, to put their things in the poles, you know, dig where they might need to dig, and do all the physical infrastructure aspects of it as well. So we are, in essence, giving them permission, but there's a lot of rules around it, to come into the borough and put down their cable infrastructure. So thank you for all your work on this, Marv. I know you put a lot into it, so. You've made the motion, or you had the second. Any other questions, discussion? Any questions?
Question?
Yeah.
Is there a revenue stream to the borough from this?
Yes, that's the franchise. It's approximately 5% of receipts.
And how does that compare with the prior agreement?
Oh, I think it's the same.
Okay. Thank you.
And what they did, I guess other details, what they, the percentage stays the same, but what the negotiations were to include some types of revenue streams that weren't in existence 10 years ago. So they were started falling through the cracks, but that now they've been reintroduced into the agreement so that the fee would be based on these, you know, new types of revenue that cable companies got that, you know, weren't even heard of at the time of the previous agreement.
I did also, I have a question for you, Marv. I did see that the law firm of Cohen had any relation. was talking about a number of municipalities have actually have taken some of those criteria to court with regard to, I guess it's the freebies, not being freebies anymore and so on. And I was unclear whether those issues have been resolved or they're still in the courts.
Perhaps our solicitor has more knowledge on that.
I would have to pull the litigation. Obviously the Cohen group has handled these negotiations and is much more familiar with that litigation. I can find out, but I do not know offhand.
Okay. And neither do I.
It's not immediately important. I was curious just to know whether it was over. It was just basically saying that, some of the items that had been changed that you had referenced actually might get changed back if the municipalities are successful in their legal action or activities.
Well, in terms of the courtesy service, that was a federal FCC edict.
Right. I think I thought that some of these were on a federal level that they were being objected to. But,
okay, so not the means. So taking not locally, but on a federal. Yeah, I don't have any knowledge on that.
Right.
But we can find out and get back to you.
I mean, I don't, as far as I know, I don't know that it's entirely relevant to us, unless we were to decide to take advantage of any of them.
Well, it appeared that should those rulings be made in favor of the municipalities, that we would only benefit. So, I mean, obviously we should, I'm in favor of the resolution at this point. And it would just be nice, you know, maybe there will be some better aspects of it in the future.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Motion passes. All right, thanks again very much, Mark.
There's one more resolution, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, there is. We do have the resolution regarding the outdoor dining. Pull up. And this would be resolution number 98-2020-D. This would be a motion to approve resolution 98-2020-D, which would extend the guidelines and policy for outdoor sales of food and merchandise of existing businesses in the borough during the coronavirus pandemic. And this would extend it for an additional 45 days if council were to approve this.
I move to adopt the resolution 9-8-2020D to extend the outdoor dining permissibilities for an additional 45 days.
A second.
All right, and this would, take it then towards the end of October. It doesn't mean we would then necessarily end it and revisit it. Businesses say, yes, we'd like to continue. The weather looks good. No, we don't want to. Just we'll see what the status is at that point, and we can renew it again if we like. So are there any questions or comments?
Why don't we just extend it 90 days and make it simple for the business people to plan?
I think the thought process was, and we did discuss this with the attorney at the last meeting, was that once the cold weather happens, it's not going to be relevant to sit outside and eat. So that was just like the 45 days got us to a point of comfortable outside dining.
And if we need to renew it again, we just do it on the resolution. But I'd like to do it now just because here we are, and we do need to continue it so that they can continue.
I'm not disagreeing with the continuance. I just think it'd be a good signal to the business community. We're giving you a green light to plan for your next 90 days because they have no idea what's happening out there.
I think that the 45 days also somewhat coincided with some of the other extensions of ordinance, leniencies, related to even the state.
Well, yeah, and then actually even between our meeting last week and this week, Wolf did say that there could be, I think, 50% capacity by September 21st. So everything's so fluid.
But that's a good point, Marvin. And I know I was sick last week and Bob was out as well. So neither of us were here, but to your point, if it needs to be consistent with the state, then that's part of why council came to that decision at that point.
A question for Lauren. Was there a recent state legislation to give the local municipalities greater authority on alcohol matters? Did you see that this week or last week?
I don't think that there was anything that gave local municipalities any additional powers, and I'm not aware of anything that has actually passed. I do know that earlier in the pandemic, there were several pieces of legislation that had passed regarding loosening up some of the constraints for the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board, but that all alcohol matters are typically handled through the Liquor Control Board rather than at the municipal level.
But for the purpose of this outside dining, it is an extension of their business.
Correct.
So that's what we're approving.
Correct. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Any Any other discussion? Questions? Public? Any public comment? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passed.
All right. Tara, did we announce the executive session for the end of this meeting?
Lauren has not announced that yet, no.
There will be a brief executive session following this evening's meeting to discuss matters of litigation.
Okay, and have you got anything else for the president's report? I mean, sorry, for the solicitor's report. All right.
I don't have any other action items. We did provide a copy of our solicitor's report, and we're happy to discuss any items that council may have additional questions about.
Does anyone have any comments, questions about anything on the report? Okay, budget and finance.
Oh, approval of minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Approval of minutes. Sorry, I'll entertain a motion to approve the August 5th, 2020 online work session minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes. Next.
To make a motion. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Make a motion for August 11th.
Go ahead, so Sue. You can
do it. I did not follow that. I don't know if Judy did, but
it's a tie between Sue and Julia a couple times.
I'm Russell.
Give it to Sue. It's okay. Give it to Sue.
All right. Julia, second.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
August 27th?
I move to approve the August 27th, 2020 online council meeting minutes.
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
I wasn't at the meeting, so I'm abstaining.
Okay, thanks, Nicole. All right, on to committee reports. All right, now budget and finance.
Do you want it, Marv? I can do it.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to accept. Go ahead.
We're losing you. Nicole, you're muted.
I was letting Marv do it, but I'll try again.
Oh, okay.
I'll make a motion to accept, subject to audit, the consolidated expenditure report for the month of September totaling $138,314.86.
A second.
All right, motion second. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any
nays? Motion passed. All right, EAC, Julia?
Okay. So the EAC has been discussing the topic of trash haulers for the last several years with the idea that the borough may wish to consider reducing the number of haulers that the town permits, and have done some investigation in neighboring municipalities to see how they do it. Some municipalities in our area actually have a contract with a single hauler, and those municipalities seem to be quite happy with doing that. Council looked at this a couple years ago. They really weren't interested in pursuing it, but we have a different council now, and the EAC is interested in bringing it to your attention to discuss. So it looks like most of the EAC is in the audience, and I don't know if Bill would like to speak. And my suggestion is that we listen to what the EAC has to say, and that what we need to decide at tonight's meeting is, are we interested in looking into this further? Do we want to get some more detailed information on how one goes about it? And this would require some assistance from our solicitor and looking at some other municipalities. Or are we interested in continuing the current system we have now with multiple haulers coming on multiple days and all competing for the same customers? So I leave it to Bill now.
Okay, thanks. I've got about 5 minutes worth of just summary. Now, Julia, did you forward any of the stuff that you and I emailed about earlier?
What I had sent to council this afternoon was that chart
that you had included in your presentation a couple of years ago that had the different municipalities and what they do.
Great.
And that was basically it.
Okay, good. Thanks. So I'm on behalf of the EAC, which is Gerard O'Malley, Twain Gonzalez. I think both of them are part of the call. Doug Turner, I'm not sure if Doug's on the call, and Pat Foster.
He's listening. He's just not visible. Okay.
He's part of the backdrop there that you've got.
Yeah.
And Julie is our liaison. So I invite them to weigh in on this as well. 2 years ago this month, we presented to council a summary of our thinking at that point. The current situation, we have 5 hauling companies come through the borough for residential pickup and several others for commercial. Frequently, they arrive outside the borough's designated 2 days. There's no yard waste pickup, no multi-unit recycling, and the result is increased traffic problems on trash and recycling days, noise, wear and tear on the streets, pollution, and a risk to public safety. We presented at the time the situation. We compared it to municipalities, as Julia mentioned, and as you see in that chart, the two nearest and most similar boroughs, Yardley and Langhorne, both have a single hauler contracted through the borough. We made 3 recommendations 2 years ago. One is enforce the current ordinances on pickup days. The second, consider moving to a single contracted hauler. And the third, provide yard waste pickup multi-unit dwelling recycling for multi-unit dwellings. That was 2 years ago. We've kept this topic very much on our agenda over the last 2 years, and we've discussed various aspects of it several times. We included this as one of our suggestions in the new comprehensive plan as part of our several suggestions to be included in that. In those 2 years, the situation could arguably say it's gotten worse. We have additional haulers now coming through. We have continued problems in all respects. This week, we're going to have 4 residential pickup days because the holiday, and some of the companies are still staying with Tuesday and Friday. Some of the companies move Tuesdays to Wednesday and Friday to Saturday. So we're actually having 4 pickup days this week.
Yeah, that's too much.
Feels a little bit out of control. And I think it's a regular conversation that many of us have had with borough residents, particularly newcomers who love the place but can't believe the chaos on pickup days, trash and recycling pickup days. So our EAC feels it's a problem that needs to be addressed. We recommend that the borough move toward a single borough-approved residential hauler. Now, this should be the result of a competitive process that would be based on considerations such as price, assured pickup from every residence, addressing environmental concerns, fuel source for trucks, how recycling and yard waste are handled, flexibility, number of pickups per week, large item pickup, et cetera, and options and recommendations for yard waste. So those are the 5 sort of aspects of our proposal. As with the neighboring municipalities, the borough approval could be renewed or reopened on a periodic basis, such as every 3 years, or if the approved hauler fails to meet its commitments. EAC recommends that council authorize the borough solicitor to investigate how a bidding and contracting process could work. So that's the statement. Gerard, Doug, Twain, is there anything else any of you would like to add?
Not from me, thanks.
I think you covered it nicely, Bill.
Okay. So there it is. I'll go on mute unless there are questions.
Bill, may I ask you, just because I'm sitting here scribbling furiously, and perhaps later you can send us sort of that outline list you said in a nice written format. But you had your 5 points. Can you please reiterate your 5 points again?
It looks like I actually, to my surprise, have screen sharing enabled. Here are my notes. You get to see them right there. And so there they are.
Now that's the agenda.
Well, then I'm sharing the wrong thing. I'll try one more time and try to get it right this time. This is the screen, right? Oh, here we go. Sorry. How's that? Is that better?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. There they are.
There you go.
It's those five little items there.
Okay, and you'll send that to us as well, please. Send it to Judy and she can distribute it.
You bet.
Thanks.
Are we asking questions?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So thank you so much for all this work, and I absolutely agree with you that it's just gotten worse. I do wonder, just because when we had the white tail guy in, that was a new company that came through, he talked to us for a while, and he said, you know, one problem with having one person is now the barrow becomes a trash collector. So but it sounds to me, though, that what you're proposing is just one hauler, we change our ordinance, but it's not coming out of tax money.
I think there are a few options for how to actually handle this, but it certainly does not need to come out of tax money.
Okay.
We didn't get into that level of detail in our proposal. We're saying, let's move to one residential hauler. The other thing that's not part of our proposal is the commercial side of things, because that has its own set of needs and they're coming through daily. And right. A lot of commercial establishments need daily pickup. And right now we're just not even feeling like we can add that to what we're recommending.
Yeah, no, I know. And that was a hard conversation too when we had it, because especially the restaurants, if you don't pick it up daily, then people complain about, you know, the dumpster and the smell and all that stuff.
Well, so the turkey buzzards by the brick have been taking care of that pretty well. And at no cost to the borough, no tax money, no anything, as far as I can tell. So I could expand on that program.
The circle of life. Okay, so, I mean, because again, just going back in time, because I was on council then, I agree with what you're saying. The concerns that were brought up were specifically from people in the community that would, like you said, they want flexibility, right? So if you're a single person living in a house, you don't need the two-day pickup. You have to make it a 2% tax on everyone's taxes. Well, now that single person is paying, you know, X amount of that. So I'm just bringing that up. I have six people, so I'd be making out on the deal. But I just remember that being something that was brought up.
Yeah.
So there are different ways of billing, and I do recall the Whitetail presentation. He was talking about, well, if Whitetail has to do the billing, it's one cost. If the borough does the billing, it's another cost. There are all different ways of looking at this. And if you have a single hauler, it doesn't mean that everybody has to have the same amount of service. It just means that we have one hauler. So if you want to have the option of having a single pickup or two pickups, just like we have that option now, I mean, those are things that can be negotiated with a contractor and certainly right. be put in whatever we're asking for. And certainly okay. people want to have that flexibility.
He just said, I might have notes from what he said, because he was like a world of information. But he also said something like, the problem is you're still going to have just as many trucks on the street. Like, I understand. I get it. There's too many. I completely agree with this. But he also made the mention that you're still picking up at the same houses that are getting.
Yes. And no. Well, right. I understand. Right. But a single truck going down the street and stopping at every house is fewer trucks on that street on pickup day than five trucks going down that street picking up at every house.
Right.
It just,
right.
you know. I think one of the other interesting things I'll mention that has come up in conversation, the township does not have a single contractor, as you probably saw on that comparison list. But I think there are two differences, right? One is density. Most of the township is a much more spread out kind of set of pickups. And the other is HOAs. A lot of the developments are a homeowners association, and they do contract to a single hauler. So when you go into an HOA on trash day, all the trash cans are the same company because it's a commercial contract to a single hauler. Langhorne Borough still uses LEC. LEC doesn't do residential, they do commercial. But Langhorne Borough engaged in a commercial contract with LEC. because it's a single contract to the borough. Now they handle it through billing inserts that get distributed from the borough. My understanding is it's not part of taxes. So lots of choices there. But the core of the EAC's recommendation is let's get to one hauler approved on a competitive basis with periodic contract renewals and straighten out this problem that is truly getting out of control.
And then the other thing,
Nicole?
No, I was just gonna add to that too. We also have to take into consideration the cost of returning the trash cans for the current company you have, because when my husband switched to Whitetail, he thought it was like they were like, oh, it'll be fine. And then it was like, we got charged by whoever it was, our other person, to like pick up the trash cans. So then it was like the $100 we were saving for the year, we had to pay to the other company to collect the cans. So just something out there too, whenever you decide, whenever the person's decided, like you need to somehow absorb maybe some of that cost, because I think people are gonna be mad if they have a contract. Yeah.
Nicole, my previous hauler tried to do that too. And I said, are you kidding me? I said, I'm not gonna pay you to pick up your own equipment. And he took the charge off.
Right. Same here, same here.
I still have my lactotrius, it's memorabilia.
I think the other reason why it's important to move forward on the residential, which has, you know, gotten worse with more haulers, is that at least for the commercial, they are somewhat restricted to certain streets. They don't go on to most of the, you know, smaller residential streets. They're more concentrated around State and Washington, and whereas residential is all over the place.
Yeah. Bob, you had your hand up?
Yeah, one of the reasons Whitetail adjusted their schedule in August or July, we went through that because they were shifting to days that weren't permitted. Their explanation was, with more people being home, the residential volume dramatically increased. So they had to restructure all of their schedules for all of the territory that they service.
That's been an issue in many.
Pardon?
It's been an issue in many municipities, the excess waste field.
So one of the questions in my mind is, except for the big guys, Waste Management or Republic, do the little guys have a chance at this contract, or they don't have enough trucks, they don't have enough employees, they can't really bid on this contract because the demands that we're going to put on them, as well as the other municipalities, is too great. So we may be subjecting ourselves to the competitive warfare of two giants and knocking out the little guy. So I'm not sure one hauler is an answer. Maybe it's two.
I would just point out that, the Langhorne Borough uses LEC. LEC, I don't know, I think in the scheme of things, LEC is still a little guy. They're based in Ivyland now.
They've sold out, I thought.
The commercial side of LEC is still picking up as LEC. The residential side of LEC got purchased by Republic.
Okay.
Langhorne Borough is still using the commercial side of LEC. They consider it a commercial contract. So there are ways to work this out. I understand the concern for sure. I think our primary obligation is to the residents of the borough.
Right. And just to tell you, Bob, when Whitetail came to introduce themselves to the borough, we asked some questions, and they actually have hauler contracts with municipalities to be the single hauler. And they come from pretty far away, so I don't think they're really the little guy. I think that they would probably find themselves competitive.
They're compared to like Waste Management, I think.
Right. Well, I think, and as Bill pointed out, the point is like on Washington Avenue, there are five haulers that go down our block. So each one of those trucks is picking up every fifth can, and that doesn't really make any sense for them, and doesn't make any sense for us. And right now, I mean that they're having trouble doing their jobs and their workers are out and all the rest of that. So we multiply that by five haulers. We have five haulers who are competing and trying to get their trucks here to pick up every fifth can, which really doesn't make any sense.
I support this anyway, but I think it's also important to remember that all we're trying to agree tonight is to pursue looking at this. So we're not actually committing to doing it yet. So we have time to find out all those things if we're going to be knocking some people out of the competition because of size or whatever. So it won't be too late to adjust.
Right. Bill, I have two questions. One question is actually sort of Bill and Dan, to everybody. I'm on Washington Avenue. Oh my gosh, there's so many of them. Other than the ones that like are the commercial ones that I hear, I don't notice this, oh my gosh, there's so many of them at all. It doesn't, this is me personally. I hear everyone, this is what I observe. I don't observe, oh my gosh, I'm sitting going around everywhere and we're just like, they're constantly in the streets. Is this because I'm in Washington Avenue and they pick us up early in the morning because we're a through street? And those of you who might live on side streets see them trundling up and down in the afternoons. You know, how many people have this perception that there are that many? That's the one question. And then the other question I have has to do with the statement about wear on tear on the roads. That was sort of given as an, you know, as an accepted given. And it's true that a full garbage truck causes significantly more wear than, say, a septic bus. A lot of it has to do with the amount of trash in it. It's not going to be full all the time, but also the roads. And there are, you know, basic roads with a thin bituminous layer that are just, you know, don't have much of a much stability. It'll be dramatically impacted. There's roads that have been really built sturdily that would barely be impacted, and our roads vary in between. I don't know, Michelle is still with us. Michelle, if you have any knowledge or if there are places we can look, I did a bit of looking, I found one research report, but how can we find out so that we're using actual information, how can we find out what the impact is? And we're not saying to take core samples of our street reports, but you are familiar with our streets and we know what's been done over the years. Is there a way to see what the impact is of five haulers versus one, but also stopping at every house?
I don't have any personal knowledge to that, but I know there are many reports out there that talk about this specific subject, and we could do research on it. If the EAC has done some, we'd be happy to look at that too, or they could look at some also.
Okay, great, thank you.
Yeah, I think, so as to point number one, Tara, if you're living on Washington Avenue and not noticing it, you should try to just move to North Chancellor Street. And just a suggestion, something you might want to think about doing. But I think because part of the issue is, you know, Washington Avenue has a fair amount of traffic already, and the side streets less so. And particularly on trash days, North Chancellor, it's, in addition, has the special treat of all the trucks going up to Pickering Manor, which, you know, so there's a lot happening. So that's just, I think the impact on the side residential streets is greater proportionally just because of the contrast.
Right.
Now, I don't want to claim that EAC did research. Some of what's there is conjecture. You know, we didn't measure the pollution. We didn't measure the impact on the streets. It is conjecture, but, you know, I think it has some basis in what we're saying. If we were to kind of rank order what we think the impact is on residents, it's probably some of the other factors, just the traffic, the noise. People have been hit by garbage trucks, you know, so it's the sheer volume of these things coming through that I think is the major impact. So those are the thoughts that come to my mind. I don't know if other EAC folks have other things to add, but.
There are, in terms of impact on streets, the, and I can never remember, Susan, what's the name of the alley right here? Corey?
Coriel Alley.
We now have garages on three properties and across the, not on Charlie's, but three properties over there on the north side where they now have trash cans in the alley. So that road, in addition to the construction that happened over there this year and the couple of years behind it, that road is in very bad shape. And we're going to address that going forward. The development at State and Court will also be a particular problem because that's going to be a one-way in and back out. There's no turnaround in that design. So when we, Bill, when we look at these routes, we need to pay attention, and I'm not lecturing, I'm just observing. How will the flow go? Because you have Court Street, a one-way, it's going to have go into that development on two sides. Then we have the new house here. I'm not sure how the big houses across from the theater get their trash picked up, whether it's in the back or the front. But we have some unique logistical issues that we're going to have to pay attention to. I'm just throwing that out as an observation. I mean, congratulations on how you've gotten us this far. And it is an issue that we have to address because it's impacting the morning traffic flow and our roads to a serious effect. So thank you very much.
Sure.
And then, of course, there's the last countering issue, which is the a matter of personal choice. And that some people may really be happy with McCulla and they love them, and other people have Republic and that color blue is their favorite color blue for a toter. And somebody else has a very personal relationship with the person they call at Whitetail, you know, even though they miss talking to Sinola. And so we'd be saying, no, you can't have this provider that you've had, that you chose, that you agreed, and you've researched and you've picked out. You've got to have the one that we're telling you to have. And yeah, it's not unusual. It's you presented to us the very nice chart with surrounding municipalities. And I'm not saying not to go forward and look into it a bit further because maybe it really is the best thing. I would just say because of that, and that concern was brought up at the last time we discussed it 2 years ago, that there are, you know, there are residents who really like being able to make that choice. It would be a very important and significant factor to get that public input. And we would need to really get the information out there and that we're considering it, if we are, if we do, and have a public meeting for that topic and, you know, entertain, you know, emails, calls, and attendance to a meeting, because it really would be a significant thing to do, to just changing people's daily lives.
Sure, understood. I think the other question is a timing one, because as I mentioned, we did include this among several recommendations for the comprehensive plan. Yes. And you are going to be having public meetings around the comp plan. Yes. So I don't know when the, I don't know what the timing is for those sections of those public meetings that would overlap with this, but that could be a time to consider this as well. We're feeling like we want to move ahead with the proposal now, because it's, Julia mentioned, we've been talking about this for years. We presented 2 years ago. The problem's getting worse, so we want to keep moving on it. If there is some final resolution that we narrow it down to two instead of five, that's still an improvement. We continue to feel that the previous recommendations still should be followed, which is follow the rules, right?
Yeah.
Follow the rules. And I know there's special considerations right now as mentioned. But if we have haulers who cannot follow the rules, that should disqualify them right off the bat. And, you know, sorry if that means the favorite color blue bin is not available anymore, but that's kind of how it is.
Right. And right now, like literally right now, as in, you know, this summer, this fall, this spring, with the pandemic, you know, as everybody, they've been impacted, not just more trash to pick up, but collectors who become ill, and that's impacted pickup. So I don't want to judge any one hauler on, you know, how they are under the pandemic. We also know this is not something we're going to do next month either. So you're looking for our, I guess, our blessing to say, yes, we're interested in considering it, and please, therefore, take the time to do more interest. I'm doing more research, right?
Tara, I'm thinking we're past the point of asking the EAC to call around to get information. Mm. I think that if council is interested in getting some more information on how this is done, this is the point at which we ask our solicitor to help us figure out how does one do it and give us some options. Like, you know, what kinds of changes in our ordinance would be required, if that? What kinds of changes in our, like, how do we go about switching from having the residents contract directly with the hauler and the borough putting it out to bid for, say, a three-year contract? I think we need to know the mechanisms, and then we can go forward on that, because we can tweak the little things like one pickup or two, and what kinds of services they offer. All that stuff can be part of those details. But I think the EAC has done as much as the EAC can do. And if council is interested in just getting more concrete information to deal with, so that even if we do, well, we obviously do want to make sure the public is with us on this, that we have something a little bit more firm to offer them and say, here are your options. And clearly one of the big ones is going to be, it's not going to cost you more than what you've got now. I mean, I think that's a really important thing, because why would people want to do it if it's going to mean that it costs them more? So that's why I wanted the EAC to come back now. And I think at this point, we just need to get a sense from council, and we need to find out if we want to ask our solicitor to assist us with this.
Yeah, I do feel there's more research needed beyond the ones that are on the chart. You know, we've got just a handful of municipalities here, but there, as far as, say, the options and the billing, because how it impacts us is really important, what it leaves Judy with or Pat with in terms of collection or not, if it becomes between the resident and the hauler. And you mentioned how Langhorne Borough contracts as a commercial entity with LEP, and people get that insert. Like, something like that is sounds really interesting. And there may be other things, other ways to do it that we don't know. So I think beyond the legal aspects, there is more research to do, so that when it would come to the point of a public meeting, then you'd be able to lay out all these things, and some of the questions that have come up here we'd be able to answer.
Okay, so I guess question number one is council interested in doing more research on this? That's the first question.
Can I inject a question like 0.5, even before question one, which is, is it a goal? Is it a shared goal? Do we want to get to, then if it's a shared goal, where do we go from here? And it sounds like there might be two things in parallel. One is the legal side, where your solicitor kind of digs into that. And it sounds like you're asking EAC to get a little more into what are the options for how this could happen, particularly.
Or Julie can do it, or other members of council can do it if they're so moved. Okay. But it needs to be done, I think.
But I'd be just interested in whether there's a sense of the council that, yeah, this is a worthwhile goal to pursue. And if it is, then let's keep moving.
What are thoughts?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. I think now that we're to five, it's over the edge.
I'm sorry, what'd you say, Mark?
I said now that we're to five haulers, it's you know, gone off the cliff.
Five. Yeah. I was like, we're five, because Bob walked out of his window. So yeah, I would.
Thanks.
So Nicole, you said yes. Sue, I think you said yes earlier. Yes. Julie, obviously you're yes. And Bob's not with. I think my goal is what is best for the residents, and we may not know. Like, some residents may think, oh yeah, it's just keep it the way it is, but in fact, it might be better financially, it might work out better for the enjoyment, pollution, noise, whatever, to go to single hall, or some of this we don't know. So I'm in favor of learning more and hearing from the public to consider it. I don't know if it's having it is my goal, like for me. So that's my input. Corky, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I've been trying to formulate my own opinion on this whole thing. And I think growing up here in town, it used to be you contracted yourself and then the borough got into it. And it was a very good thing because everybody knew when trash day was. They knew they only had one hauler and everything was done. It got sticky whenever everything went to borough collection of the funds. And it got to a point where there was a lot of residents that were upset because people weren't paying their bill. Before the borough got involved with it and trash was sitting out, and then that became an issue. But I do believe that the enforcement of the primary goal that we have here is to get the trash collected. And I think what the EAC has put forth is that the enforcement aspect of the thing has to be the primary. Secondly, I think one hauler is the best way to go for the borough. And I think that, you know, your point, Tara, about blue and white and tail and all of those things being, you know, taken into consideration are nothing more than just somebody's opinion. And I think if you put the public in there, they're all going to have their opinion. And I think you're going to wind up clouding an issue that may be a little bit more drastic than what we need. So I think the council needs to take the position that this is what we want to do, put it in the comprehensive plan, have everybody comment on it at the comprehensive plan meetings, and then it's over and done with. And I think that way it gets done, and the sooner it gets done, the better it's going to be for the community, because as Marv said, you know, we're off the cliff now with five haulers and making excuses as to why they can't follow the designated days because of, you know, a holiday and because of this, and they have other things that they have to do. And I just think it's gotten to the point where nobody is following the guidelines that we've proposed, and we're allowing it to be done, and it looks bad on us. And as, you know, we said in the beginning of the thing, people move in here and they love the community, but they don't understand why we're not following the rules and we have five haulers picking up trash. So looking at it from that standpoint, I think the best thing to do is to put it in a comprehensive plan, make it over, get it done, go back to one.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. All right. Bob, you okay?
I'm glad we have the mayor on because we get the historical perspective of somebody who's grown up and is seen and experienced. So I just want to say thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so it sounds like that we're a go-ahead to then take the next steps in gathering information and looking at how we can do it. And I'm wondering if that might involve taking a look at how it was done when we had the building problems that you mentioned, Corky, so that we don't do it that way. And so it's not putting a whole extra layer on Judy or Pat for that. So that I think that's important. All right. Thank you.
I just want to say one thing. Things have changed in the past 60 years. So don't look back and say that they were hand delivering bills versus, you know, electronic bills. So you can still do the same thing, but you know, you don't have to worry about bills getting lost in the mail when you can email them to people. So I think, you know, the way it was done a long time ago is not irrelevant to what's being done today as far as collection agencies. People can put them on their credit cards. It's all being done differently. But I think the most important thing is that you narrow it down to one hauler and get things off the street and get the trash picked up and get, you know, rubbish as well as leaf debris, lawn debris, all those things picked up and recyclables, and have recycling, you know, taken care of. Because I know there are some of these haulers that are charging, you know, for recycling, but not picking up recycling because it's all put out together. And even on the days that it is picked up, it's still being billed differently or commingled in with other things anyway. So I think that's one of the things that we all have to look at too. So thank you.
I did want to just clarify, I think we are going to need at least some information from our solicitor about how one goes about it and what the options are for the municipality, not to pick a plan, but at least to know what our what our choices are. Would this be okay with council that that I and the EAC work with the solicitor to get some more information in this area?
I'm good. Everyone good with that?
And what would that be other than drafting an ordinance saying we're changing it from, you know, personal issues to, one hauler interviewed and hired by the municipality to oversee trash collection?
Well, I mean, there would be a process for doing the bidding and all the rest of that and how that would be done and what the options are.
But I think that's totally different than just writing an ordinance and saying this is what we want. I think that's the background. Once we establish it, then it becomes that issue. I don't think we need to have the lawyer investigate how to put an ordinance together.
It's not putting an ordinance together, Corky. It's talking about what, I don't know the answer to this. Maybe Lauren can clue us in on what possible things the borough may have to do in order to institute this sort of a process.
I just can't see it being that difficult.
Well, it probably isn't. I don't know. Lauren, what kind of advice would we need from, do you think we need from your office at this point in this discussion?
I mean, the broad brush pieces of it are fairly straightforward. It does have to be bid, and it would involve an ordinance change. I would suggest that those things happen concurrently rather than necessarily one before the other. But if, we can put together kind of it depends on if you're looking for options or if you're looking for, if the borough wants to go to the single hauler, what is the path? And as the mayor is saying, it's relatively straightforward. We can certainly put that together. If you're looking for more, alternatives that may be available from the single hauler system, if we wanted to explore, I know that Bob has suggested a potential two hauler system. We can put something together that outlines the different possibilities.
I don't know that that's legal work and, whether there's a more appropriate group to do that sort of work of looking at options.
We're not going to get too far on the contract side of things without discussing the billing side of things. And there are three or four possible approaches we would want to take for billing. Now, it may be that some of the haulers come back to us with saying, here's our recommendation for how to handle billing or here's what's best for us. But I think that's going to be part of the dynamic. The EAC meets again on the 21st. We meet in very soon. And so we could pick back up on this discussion within EAC, start identifying what we see being the options for billing. And because I think that's one of the things that are on people's mind, is it through taxes? Is it through an insert and something sent by the borough office? Is it direct from each household to the hauler? Those kind of things. So I put that out there as another possible step, because we won't get real far on the contract side until we have a sense of what we want from the billing side. The hauler is going to want to say, I want one bill. I want one bill per quarter from the borough, right? That's what the hauler wants. The hauler doesn't want to send 1,200 bills out to 1,200 households or whatever the count is. On the other hand, any one of these haulers would be happy to have 1,200 customers, and they'd be sending bills out to the 1,200 households. So it's not, but I think it's going to be that kind of dynamic and negotiation that is going to end up happening.
And what do you think is your best recommendation, Bill, as to way the best way to go, be it via the tax bill or be it individual bills to individual households? And I think that's the way to go. But listening to you, I'm not sure that you have a different opinion.
I don't think, I'll speak on behalf of EAC, we don't have an opinion on that yet. Okay. We held off on that question until we just got this far in the discussion. Sounds like it would be an appropriate next step for us to have that discussion within EAC. We're certainly not looking at it from the legal side of things. No. It's more just from the practical, hey, we're all residents of the borough. What do we think makes the most sense? And I would suggest coming back after the meeting on the 21st rather than me just offering my own opinion.
Excellent presentation, Bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Sounds good. So I guess the EAC will take this up again at their next meeting and come back with recommendations for council.
You bet we will. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Personnel, Nicole?
Hi. So the first thing I'm going to bring up is just the question as to, and we kind of touched on this at our last meeting, but just wanted to double check that we will be advertising the vacancies for the terms ending on December 31st, 2020, both on the website and the newsletter. So that would, well, we would have our regular vacancies and then also the vacancies that might, I mean, I guess they're going to be vacancies, but of the people that terms are expiring.
And then we'll also, I'll reach out to you to talk about this because we'll also want to know who is interested in continuing, who's still on, you know, in having another term.
Right, but the way that the policy is now written, that has to be a vacancy.
Right, no, I understand. I'm just adding that in there.
The question is, when
Judy, make sure we don't drop that.
So the question is, when Judy does the newsletter, are we showing those as vacancies?
That's the policy. That's my understanding of the policy.
Yes.
So on the newsletter, too. Okay. We did have a few personnel things happened. I think Bob already brought up that the HRC appointed Mary Gonzalez as chair. TJ Walsh has been hired as the CSC solicitor, excuse me, that was a tongue tie, the civil service. Open committee positions. We just have two new ones and then I'll read the other ones. We do have a new position on the Shade Tree and then on the Board of Appeals. And then in addition, these ones have been hanging out for a little bit. Hold on a second, I'm sorry. Okay, so we have two for the EAC Environmental Advisory Council, one for the Recreation Board, and actually, unfortunately, a resignation this week, plus a secretary. And then I talked about Shade Tree and Board of Appeals, and always looking for members for the ad hoc traffic and parking. Thank you.
Can I ask a question on that, Bob? Didn't Jim Steen recruit a couple of people for that?
I don't remember. I will check.
All right. We'll need to get the link to the form, Kim, because they need to fill out the form.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I know that he was talking about talking to other business owners and trying to get other people involved in that. And I thought he actually talked about a couple of names, but maybe I'm wrong.
I had talked to Carol Richardson to let her know that we would be moving forward with a review of the streets, particularly State Street, for hours of parking, location of signs, and those kind of things, so that council would be soliciting the business community's help for that kind of a thing. So they know we will be coming back. I was just delayed a couple of weeks and getting back on my feet.
Sure.
Yeah. And of course, for residents as part of that committee as well.
Yeah.
Right. Nicole? Thank you, Nicole. Bob?
A week ago Friday, I was invited over to the Steeple View, and we have a new resident in town who gave up his 18-acre garden to move into that building, and he's looking for a gardening job, and he thinks that he could help with both the garden across from Half Moon and also perhaps help with the Bird in Hand property. So I will send you the
he should talk to the Newtown Historic Association there's a volunteer group who helps the Boone Garden. So that's not us. So if you can direct him to them for that. And Julia, you were about to say something? I thought somebody was about to say something.
Well, no, and I would say, you know, Bob, you want to put him in touch with me about bird in hand. I can tell him where we are with that.
Okay.
We do have a landscape design, and we have a grant application we're waiting for. So if he wants to know what's happening with that, I'd be happy to share that information with him.
He may want to be a benefactor.
Well, even more.
There's also the bit of garden that we're going to hopefully get cleaned up soon at the Brian Gregg Park, and that needs some maintenance as well.
So, yeah, he has ideas for that, too. We do need to move on that, so great.
I will get that to you folks over the next week, okay? Just I have a lot of doctor appointments scheduled, so I'll get that to you.
You take care of yourself, don't worry.
Very nice person, very enthusiastic.
Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you.
All right, and now we're on to E-code.
Okay, so the two chapters that are on the schedule for tonight are the stormwater management chapter and streets and sidewalks. Both of these ordinances are long. They have a lot of technical information in them, and I've been working with Michelle. She's made a lot of recommendations for changes to these ordinances to on the technical side, and then there are a number of decisions that council needs to make. So I'm going to walk you through these decisions that we have to make in the discussion guide, and then based on our discussion, we'll determine how we're going to go. So the question is, the overriding question is, are we going to make changes to these chapters as part of the E-code process, or do we want to make those same changes as separate ordinance changes, which will mean that they would go into effect more quickly? And you'll see as we're talking about it why we may want to consider one or the other option. So the first one is the stormwater management chapter. That's chapter 473, and it was like 88 pages long if you all read it. Without going into all of the technical changes and so on, there are a couple decisions we need to make. And I'm going to ask Michelle if she can help explain some of these. The first is that if you're all familiar with the stormwater management ordinance, we had to adopt, I guess it was about 10 years ago, we had to adopt a new stormwater management ordinance that was based on one that was developed by the county for the Neshaminy Creek watershed. And it made a lot of determinations, and some of the borough made a few changes here and there, but primarily stuck to that ordinance as it was written. One of the regulations in that ordinance is if you do a construction project and it is of a certain size, you have to do a stormwater management plan. And according to the ordinance as it's written now, if your project increases the impervious cover by less than 1,000 square feet, you don't have to submit a stormwater management plan, if I have this correct. And the question is that too big? And should we be considering a 500 square foot impervious cover change? And Michelle, if you'd like to speak to that and talk about what we might want to consider on one side or the other of that question, that would be great.
Or can we move the question anything else in the range? Before you head into it, Michelle, like this 500 is half of 1,000, is there 750, 800, you know, anything else?
So, as Julia said, your ordinance now says that if you have 1,000 square feet or less of new impervious coverage, you don't have to do a site plan, but you also don't have to do any stormwater best management practices. So if you build an addition, put in a shed, put in a very large patio or any combination of those, and it adds up to 1,000 square feet or less, you do not have to build a rain garden. You don't have to put in a seepage bed. You don't have to plant trees that could reduce the stormwater management. As Julia said again, this came about with the Neshaminy Creek Act 167 plan, most of the municipalities within that watershed adhere to that requirement, but some municipalities go less. I know Upper Dublin Township, which is in Montgomery County, have a limit of 400 square feet. Dublin Borough has a lesser amount of impervious coverage. But the main question, I think, as to what you want your limit to be is, are there problems? Are there existing problems in the borough with these smaller types of developments? Does the borough get a lot of complaints if someone puts in a large addition that's less than 1,000 square feet? Since Julia and I talked, I spoke with Mike Italia because he has some history about complaints, and he told me there's really no complaints about stormwater management coming off these type of developments. So I don't know if anybody else on council has seen any drainage problems, witnessed it, or if they think that these type of developments or lesser developments should have stormwater management best management practices.
Well, I know that a few people have talked to me over the years about concerns about stormwater runoff from people putting in smaller projects on their properties. Probably none of them have risen to the point where they've actually gone to complain to the borough officially, but certainly there have been complaints. The other thing I guess to consider is we have small lots, and we also have a very, very high water table in the borough because we're very close to the creek. And as we know, you know, it's not very far down till we get to springs and all the rest of that. So there's a lot of water in the borough. And if I remember a long time ago before this act was passed, that if you had a smaller project, that you did still have to do smaller stormwater management things on your property that were not so
onerous,
expensive, whatever, or onerous, yeah, like a rain garden or like putting in porous paving or, like you say, planting trees and all the rest of that. And that for small projects, those had to be done. And that was before the Neshaminy ordinance came in. And I don't know if we should be looking at something like that. So if you put in a new garage, so your new garage could be 500 square feet, right? Should that person have to do something for stormwater?
That is the question. A lot of municipalities factor in the cost to their property owners to develop a stormwater management plan, to get it reviewed by the borough engineer, and then to hire a contractor to put in the stormwater management facility. I don't know if that will factor in tonight or not.
So based on your experience in other municipalities, Michelle, would you recommend that we stay with 1,000 or would you recommend that we make it smaller?
So I heard from Mike Italia that says that there really aren't any complaints. And I think, Julia, you're saying that there are complaints, or are there a few complaints within a lot of years?
Well, I've had, I would say, maybe a handful of people have complained to me over, say, the last 5 years.
It is tough in Newtown Borough because you have smaller lots. It's hard to put in to do the improvements that people want to do in the borough and still have the room to put in a underground seepage bed. Sure, you could plant some trees, but a tree does not give you a big bang for your buck in regard to the capacity you need to do for some of these additions. Most municipalities will go smaller if there are a great deal of stormwater management complaints. And I don't know if Newtown Borough rises to that level.
Julia, the complaints that you heard, were they people saying, oh my gosh, my neighbor built this and now I've got flooding all the time that's coming in my yard, my basement, or was it like my neighbor built this and I'm concerned about the storm water and will there be a problem, or I saw a puddle. I know you don't have documentation, this is just recollection, but in your understanding, you know, how bad were the complaints?
Trying to remember one case, it was someone who was saying that, you know, since that person next door to me put in whatever it was, you know, I've had water in my yard. And then, or somebody else was saying, you know, I used to have, you know, I've had some water, but I'm really worried that when that addition gets built next to me, that there's going to be even more water. So
let's place the I'm worried about, because...
Right, I know, because you don't know what's going to happen. And in those cases, I've said to the person, well, listen, if you think there's going to be a problem or if that problem does develop, you need to go to the borough and you need to speak to the code enforcement officer and say, look, they need to do something about runoff into my property. So, but beyond that, it hasn't been an enormous concern. Like my neighbors haven't been complaining to me. So I don't know about anybody else.
I haven't.
Jill, did that change, you know, potential change from 1,000 to 500?
Marv, can't hear you, Marv.
I could barely hear you, Marv. You were saying something about 500 square feet?
I was asking Michelle whether that change from 1,000 to 500 came from her review or from elsewhere.
I think it was elsewhere. I think it was a number that you recommended, Julia, if I'm correct.
No, you and I talked, you brought it up to my attention and you said, should we change it?
Oh, yeah, should we change it? Absolutely.
Yeah, like what were our alternatives?
Judy, have, and then no one should go to Mike, you know, for that Joan, but while you've been here for the last 4 years, do you recall like feeling like there's a fair amount of people who call in because they call the borough office and they say, hey, I'm having a problem, my neighbor built whatever and now the water's running off into my yard?
I can think of one on Liberty not that long ago. I haven't gotten a lot, but again, you know, well, a lot of those calls will go directly to the zoning and code enforcement office. But I was aware of one on Liberty, yes. Just one, though, in 4 years.
Okay, thanks.
In my walking tours, I've been, and I go during the rain too, because I wanted to see what the water problem is. And I've talked to Dave Callahan about the tremendous amount of water that comes off the research center roof right into the alleyway. Now that the Millers have put in extensive roof surfaces, that water is going to have to go someplace too. We have two new teardowns on Penn Street and Norwood Street where these little bungalows are gone and the surrounding ground is gone. And now we have McMansions that are taking up extraordinary amount of impervious surface. So as we look forward, I think we not only have to look at places like State and Court, but we also have to look at the individual properties that are going under what I'm gonna call renewal, where the construction is eating up the space. And the roofs are directing water into unanticipated places.
If there's construction eating up the space, would that then move into being 1,000 square feet, which would then already require it anyway?
I don't know the answer to that, but when the Millers built that house, and also at 204.
Can you use addresses, because you're yeah, because some of us know the name, some of us don't. So use an address.
Okay. The 204 property, which is the,
Penn.
I'm yeah. sorry.
204 Penn and 123 Court. Yeah.
And Judy, what's the house on Court Street that the Millers have?
I'm pretty sure it's 123.
Okay. Both of those houses went within 3-4 feet of the property lines and have tremendous roofs, which are directing the rain into segregated areas. The houses on State Street across from the theater, those very, very big houses, are experiencing the same situation. If you go over there during the rain, there's a tremendous amount of water being diverted onto the sidewalks and the streets.
Now, that was a massive development, and they put in a really complicated engineered system under their driveway. It was pretty spectacular. So,
These are just random observations as I've been walking around and going around just to look at what people are doing on their properties. And we saw a huge house built on Elm Street across from the cemetery. We now have Penn and Norcross, or there's two houses over there. So what we're experiencing is the loss of the small bungalows and construction of mammoth houses with a lot of roof line that's going to direct a lot of water. So I'm just making observations.
Stormwater management plans, already.
So right now, if you got the 1,000 square feet, you have to submit a stormwater management site plan. You have to work with the engineer to submit that. You have to put in best management practices and have that plan constructed and approved. So you have to do all that. And below, and as Julia pointed out at the beginning, we could also split things up. We could say at a smaller size you have to do a BMP, but they don't necessarily have to go together. And what I'm hearing from Michelle from the beginning is the reason to change it would be because we were seeing flooding coming from construction that was smaller than that 1,000 square feet. So somebody, you know, put in a small shed or garage, and it's causing issues for the neighbors, and then we see that on a regular basis.
Yes, correct.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not hearing that we're seeing that a lot. Like, I'm hearing that we have some construction, and some of the construction is big, and that causes rain. And then, Julie, you've got some complaints, and Judy, you've gotten one. But not that it's an ongoing problem for the borough, because there also is that cost to the homeowner.
It's when we have the 2-3 inch storm within a half an hour, those deluge storms that are becoming more frequent. So, you know, the climate is changing and the intensity of the water is changing. So I think we're about to experience things that we've never had before. I'm just throwing it out to his observations. They're not in any order or priority.
So Michelle, what would you recommend?
Buy more umbrellas. So.
I'm sorry, Bob, I missed that.
Buy more umbrellas.
Oh. I'm not seeing that the level of complaints rises to the level that I think we need to change it right now.
Okay. Something to keep an eye on, keep track of.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have multiple times to change it. We can always change it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then the second question that follows this is, and Michelle, perhaps you can explain this, that mm-hmm. when someone puts in a project that is going to require a stormwater management site plan, we require an as-built plan. Am I getting this correct?
Yes.
Question is, what size project should we require the as-built drawing?
Right. So when a development goes in, excuse me, especially for a single-family dwelling or these larger additions, some municipalities require an as-built plan of the improvement and the grading and the stormwater best management practice to ensure that what was designed is what goes in. There's one municipality that I work for that was seeing a lot of problems with a lot of drainage complaints with swimming pools once they were constructed. Grading, what we found, the grading was not matching the design. And there was no check to make sure that the design matched what was constructed. So one way to do that is to require an as-built plan to be submitted. It usually is a requirement in those municipalities where you're seeing problems, where you're hearing complaints from your residents that things aren't, that there's drainage problems, things are too big, they're not per the design plan. I don't know if I'm hearing that there is a problem in this regard too. But when Julia and I were talking, I thought it would be a good idea to check with council, and Julia agreed.
So do we currently require an as-built design for above 1,000 square feet?
No. No, you do not.
They have to do the plan, but then they don't have to show what they actually did.
Correct.
Correct. I think anytime there's a required plan, there should be an as-built. I mean, is that...
And that's sort of what I was saying when we were talking about that, is that, so if we're going to require a stormwater management plan for 100 square or 1,000 square foot impervious cover change, that we would require an as-built drawing for that, but not for something that's smaller.
I would agree with that.
That makes sense.
I didn't catch that, Mark.
I agree. He said you'd agree.
Okay, good. Good. Just for the meeting minutes, it's a site plan is required for 1,001 square feet or more.
Okay.
Thanks. You got that, Judy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You? Okay.
Except right now it says less than 1,000. So according to this, you would have to have a plan for 1,000.
You mean in the design, the discussion guide?
Does that say it wrong? The discussion guide says less than 1,000 square feet. Does the actual ordinance say
1,000 and less? I'm sorry, it's 1,000 square feet and less. You do not need it. You do not need the site plan.
Okay, then it would be 1,001.
Okay, all right. Okay, so then the next item on here is the definition for impervious surface. And Michelle has proposed some changes to the definition, which is a little bit more expansive than what the original definition was in our ordinance. The question is, right now, all decks are considered impervious surface. And the question is, does council want to still consider that, or do you want to qualify that? The assumption is that the deck is built over.
I can't sit under a deck and hang out in a rainstorm, so,
What was that?
I said I can't sit under a deck and hang out during a rainstorm and enjoy it unless I want to get wet. So it's definitely not impervious.
Well, so if your deck is built over a pervious surface, then it would make sense that the deck, if it allows water through it, would be considered pervious. Michelle, is that how we were talking about it?
Exactly correct, yes.
Yeah. Now, if it's a deck that's built over a concrete pad, well, no, that's impervious.
Right. Because the deck doesn't matter at all. The deck is just decoration because the concrete pad is what's impervious.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it comes back to what the ground is.
Right.
What's underneath it. Right. Okay. So, and if you'll notice, the recommendation that Michelle has here is that that crushed stone or gravel surfaces that are used for landscaping or that will carry no vehicular or pedestrian traffic would be exempt. They would be considered pervious. If you're rolling anything over them, you're walking on it, or if you're going to drive a vehicle over it, then it would be considered impervious.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So are you all good with that concept?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So the one of the questions we have to consider about the stormwater management ordinance is, have we made, are we going to be making significant enough changes that we want to take care of it right now? Or do we want to wait? There are two things that we could be waiting for. One is that we could just do it as part of the E-code process, which probably means it would, that the changes that would be in this would be adopted sometime probably next summer because of the whole process of the E-code going through manuscripts and so on. The other thing to consider is that there is a revised Neshaminy Creek Watershed Ordinance coming down the pike that we have to pass by 2022. And Michelle, do you have any ideas yet what's included in this, or we're just still assuming that we don't, that it's even more than what you're recommending?
Well, there's some changes to the prohibited discharges section of the ordinance, and I don't have right now the other changes that would be involved. I don't know yet. The as-built plan is a bigger deal. I think the decks are a bigger deal. I think I would recommend that we change the stormwater management ordinance now and include those provisions that are required in the new DEP model stormwater ordinance.
Okay, so we have a little bit of work to do to get it together, but to look at an ordinance change in the near future, but combining both of those activities into one. Okay, is everyone on council okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so I'm anticipating that I might take this a couple months to put together. Does that sound about right, Michelle?
A couple months, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Okay. All right. Okay,
that
now we'll move on to
one.
That was the easy one, yeah.
Yes, that was the easy one. Yeah.
Okay, moving on to streets and sidewalks. Again, the question is going to be whether we want to write the ordinance, make the ordinance changes now, or wait till the future. And it looked like there were quite a few recommendations for changes that Michelle had made that are of the technical nature, but then there are also some that are policy.
So can we just jump to that? Can we say that, yeah, we want to pursue it now as opposed to putting it as part of E-code? Or do we need to go through them all individually?
Oh, no. We can jump into it now. We're still going to have to answer some of these questions, but sure, we can come to that agreement now. So I don't know if you all had a chance to look at some of these things, but are you interested in looking at changing their sidewalk ordinance or sidewalk ordinance now, or do you want to let it just the changes that we're going to be talking about come into effect when the E-code gets done, which would be in about a year?
Doesn't seem to be a huge impact. It's more allowing the other material and saying that council could consider that we want to leave the Geminis sidewalk to remain, which, you know, all of this is saying is giving something to council or to the applicant. And it's not at the level of the deck and the impervious surface, because that is a major shift from what people are allowed to do versus this is just, do you come to council or not, from the way I'm reading it. So it seems, if I'm understanding it correctly, it could wait. But I might be, unless I'm missing something.
I'm not thinking there are quite a few more changes than that. If you looked at the recommended edits that I had sent around that have to do with the technical aspects of streets in terms of...
Okay, I thought you were talking just about 480.41.
Yeah, so there's 480.41. That's pretty easy. Okay, and then there are some discussions, particularly on standards for when we require someone to repair their sidewalk, their apron, their curb, and so on, which is something we started talking about a year or so ago, but nothing was concluded. My personal feeling is that we want to update this ordinance sooner rather than later so that we can incorporate the technical changes as well as some of the policy changes. But it's certainly up to you. But we're going to want to talk about, as part of that process, looking at what standards we're going to want to follow to tell someone that they need to fix their sidewalk, which we don't have in our ordinance at this moment.
Sidewalk, curb, concrete apron.
Right, all of the, yeah.
And one of the things that I know is gonna generate a lot of discussion is, I think we need to talk about whether it's appropriate that we make a property owner pay for the curb. I think that should be part of streets. So that's a lot bigger discussion.
Right.
And part of this discussion also, the biggest part of it is the standards, which we've been talking about for the now year and a half that I've been here, and whether a person has to replace their curb if it's out of vertical alignment by 1 inch, 1/2 inch, 2 inches, 1/4 inch, those type of things. But also we could gather into that discussion, of course, who pays for it, Susan, and also if a person has to install curb, if there is not curb in front of their property right now.
And right now they do have to if we tell them to.
Yeah, our ordinance says now that yes, we can.
But we don't tell them to.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay, so the hour is getting late here. So we want to dive into this a little bit this evening, or do we want to come back to this in a couple weeks?
We still have an executive session.
We do.
Yeah. Can I, why are we leaning towards coming back to it and maybe asking this council to go out and take a look at some sidewalk where there is a differential and think about, you know, if you have a wheelchair or a stroller, what's navigable and what's not, and the stroller does not count pushing down the handle, but it's going straight. So like if you were in a wheelchair, no pop wheelies. For example, like my binder clip here, right, is that's 1/4 inch. I think it's 1/2 inch. But anyway, go out and take a look, walk around. Say, hey, you know, I'm looking, 1/4 inch is so small. I personally would argue against 1/4 inch. 2 inches is rather a lot. So what is that happy medium that we're comfortable with giving a little bit of latitude, knowing it's not, you know, Celebration Disney, it's not Newtown Grant, we're Newtown, we have our street trees, we like them, but at the same time, we want it to be safe, pedestrians and usable for people in wheelchairs. So how do you feel about that, Julia, if we come back to this and have everybody go out and take a look at that? Because I read through everything and, you know, had that, but I didn't do ground research, and I'm wondering if that would be helpful.
Okay. Well, I want you also to know that there are certain standards that are ADA accessibility standards, which are much more strict.
Okay.
1/4 inch. Now, that's pretty hard. I mean, we have to remember that in this town, you know, weather changes, the temperature changes, and sidewalks heave. So, you know, we're not looking for something that's absolutely smooth, but I think we should give it some thought, and we need to make a decision fairly quickly. What I would suggest then is we come back to this ordinance and are we all in agreement that we want to pass the sidewalk ordinance as a separate ordinance and not wait another year for it to come into effect?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Anybody, I agree with that.
Anybody disagree? Okay. All right. So given that we have these two ordinances that are going to be passed separately from the e-code process, we're going to deal with them that way. And there are also some wording changes in both that need some additional smoothing out, as it were. And then we can come back and address these specific issues, in the next, in the near future.
I was just going to suggest, by the work session agenda, you mean the next meeting at the beginning of October? Is that when it will be discussed again?
Okay, I want to just pull up my schedule.
How about the council meeting?
The council meeting work session at the beginning of October.
So, Michelle, you'll be at the October 13th council meeting.
I will be, but the October 7th would be the work session meeting,
it
right?
Would.
If that's what Tara right. said that she wanted right, to but discuss I'm saying, it. Okay.
Not here then, so we should discuss it at the on the 13th.
I was asking because Julia got out these ordinances, and I know Sue had some questions about them. So that gives us some more time to discuss them. And I have some suggestions to your wording, Julia.
Okay.
So maybe there might be a revision.
Yeah. So I had just put out a new schedule, and I'm actually just going to make some changes to that. We'll put streets and sidewalks back on October 13th. Okay, Michelle?
Okay, yes.
And I have stormwater on there. I'm going to take stormwater off because it sounds like we've got a lot more work to do on that one. So we can let that one go a little bit further because we don't have to worry about it from an e-code perspective.
Right.
Okay, so I'll move that one later, but we'll hit streets and sidewalks on the 13th again.
Okay.
Get something a little bit clearer and easier to read and for everyone to look at and to be considering the couple issues that are left to consider from a policy point of view.
Agreed, and I'll answer your questions too, Susan, too. Julia and I will.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. All right, thank you very much, Julia. All right.
Sure.
Thank you, Michelle. Okay, any old business?
So after our meeting on the 27th, I did make contact with Mark Craig to give him information on what we had, what actions we had taken. I'll partially for reading into the record, I'll just give a summary of what was told to him, and then also at his suggestion, I shared it in writing again with both him and Mike Lodi from Bucks County Planning Commission. So on the high level guidances, the first one on the demographic questions, the guidance from council is to delete the demographic questions that target information on the respondent, including gender, age, and education level. On the high level question about more information on how the historic district might be expanded. Guidance from council is that there's been no discussion on where the historic district might be expanded. Exact information cannot be added, but a potential clarification might be to include additional areas with older housing. And then question and discussion high level in terms of how the survey should be given is that guidance from council was to delete the sentence that only one survey is to be completed per household. In addition, beyond that, they've shared some comments on possible new questions, including the having more age ranges than just the two that were there, such as children under the age of 10, youth 10 to 17, adults 18 to 64, and adults 65 and older. And then on comments on some of the new questions were to delete State Street Associates as a choice for associations, assure that the business improvement district actually applies to Newtown, and if the question is indeed included, to give some background information about the business improvement district. To clarify that business contributions to maintenance of State Street scape and landscape rather than business contribution to maintenance of State Street itself, and to distinguish between customer parking and employee parking. The suggested additional questions for the business survey is communication between the business community and borough government adequate? If so, how could it be improved? And are the needs of the business community being adequately addressed by borough? And if so, how could this be improved? Then also, Mark had scheduled a meeting with Bucks County Planning Commission on the future process, which I was invited to join. So I brought up again the idea of the more editorial comments or suggestions. And Bucks County Planning Commission said that actually the version we had was a very rough version to allow us to do our work, but they would prefer editorial suggestions on the version that will be coming out, which will actually be more in the form of the actual survey itself. Additional things in terms of the next joint meeting will be on September 14th. It was delayed because of Labor Day, which is part of the reason I tried to get us to move forward a little on this, because all of our council meetings were going to be before they ever met again. At that meeting, the discussions will be on facilities and parks, recreation, and open space. There will also be some more discussions on surveys. So any liaisons that want to let their committees know that those topics will be coming up, and there will be draft sections on that coming out, liaisons can let their committees know. But what Bucks County Planning Commission did request is that there not be just, you know, individual emails from members of committee with suggestions, that they should actually, you know, in whether you call it in that sort of meeting, whether it's sunshine or not, that they actually be brought up at the joint meeting for actual discussion and a decision of how to go for it, rather than just, you know, suggestions that are coming in. And then finally, with council's agreement, I will invite Mark Craig to one of our October meetings to give an update, including this next meeting, if that's something that council would like to see. He said he would be willing to do that.
That would be great. Thank you. Yeah, we'd love to have him. He can let us know, unless somebody has, you, Marv, you or anybody else has a preference as to which meeting. And like right now, Judy, I don't think we've got one meeting particularly heavy versus another. So we could also see which is better for his schedule.
Okay. That's it.
Okay. Can I ask a question?
I got a question for Marv. Marv, some of the statistical information of how many people live in a residence, what their age groups, will that be available through the census?
To the census?
Through the census. Is that being collected through the census? So even if we don't ask the question, we can still mine the census information.
Well, we are going to ask how many how many people are in particular age ranges in the household. What we're not asking is the specific information on the respondent themselves. So we're still gathering age information.
Okay.
Yeah. So they will be included in the entire group. It's not just, you know, who are you? You who are filling out the form.
Okay.
So I have a question as well. I'm sorry. I guess I didn't understand. So we're going to have a joint meeting on September 14th.
That's Newtown Planning Commission, Bucks County Planning Commission joint meeting.
Okay, not
that's
with
the regular Planning Commission meeting because it didn't happen the first Monday.
Right. So when you say joint, you're not talking about with council?
No. Joint. Okay. The regular joint Planning Commission's meeting.
Thanks.
And then, Marv, so they're looking to have any suggestions at the meetings. So for members of council who can't attend the meeting and give input, would you want them to forward their questions to you and then you would read that input? Or, I plan on attending. Would you like them to send it to me? How would you like that to be done?
Well, I was referring more to the committee people, you know, that is what I wasn't really even thinking in terms of council people.
Okay, that's much more clear.
Because you know, comments on their specific you know, parts. I hope this is okay, but probably, you know, council members should not just be sending list of suggestions to the Planning Commission and commissions on those chapters as individual comments.
I you were talking about the committee people and I misunderstood it. That's good. Thanks. All right. Thanks for the update. Is there any other old business? Any new business? Bob?
I want to thank the mayor and president of council for their convincing the fire department to reopen the location in Ward 1 for voting.
That's the mayor. You can thank our mayor.
Okay.
His well-said, impassioned speech. Very
Today, in the mail, from the Center for Voter Information, with a return address of the election board in Doylestown, they mailed out voter registration forms. I'm not sure if anybody else got this, but actions are happening on state and local levels to get people to register. And thank you, Mayor, for having a place to go vote.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other new business? All right, once we adjourn, then Judy will be leading us to our executive session. So please stay with us, those of you who are attending. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay. Second. All right, Tara, did you see I made you the host, so I'm going to sign
thank
out.
You. All right, wait, do we have a second? Do we have a second?
Oh.
I did.
You second. Okay, all right. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, meeting adjourned.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank good night.
You, thank you, Lauren. You're staying with us. Okay, may I call a brief 40-second recess?
Yes. And do we want to stop the recording?
Oh, yes. Yeah.